morning, South Africans. We won't have that channel. I don't know where it is now. Good morning, South Africa. It was saying that. Let me take this opportunity after 2 weeks that we were apart from each other, doing work in our constituencies, that I'm happy that we're all here. I've seen the crew. It's all here. Let me take this opportunity also to thank our visitors. When time comes to introduce them, I'll ask the leader of themselves to tell who are they. I'm suspecting our day is not just a short day, it's going to be a long day, so we must try to be brief to the point today. We don't want that when plenary starts or we're not yet there, these are very important stakeholders that were invited. But before I start by considering the minutes, let me take this opportunity to tell you, whilst we were doing constituencies, I was doing constituencies or chairperson on behalf of the committee. It happened that I saw an article in the, Mail and Guardian. And in that Mail and Guardian, a young boy who was just sitting on the tires, he didn't go to Glasgow because of reasons that I'm suspecting this committee will assist what I've started already. This boy called Luvo, he is from Paarl, Embekweni. He was supposed to be amongst those who went to Glasgow for a high jump. But during those days, he just disappeared. And whilst he was disappeared, his coach trying to get hold of him, seeing that they are running short of time for e-training. When the coach was on his way to Paarl, he was involved in a car accident and passed on. And when people were trying to locate this Luvo, Luvo was nowhere to be found. He was involved in a kick and just disappeared. He didn't even go to the memorial service of his coach. I felt that whilst we're all in recess, let me do that job for our committee. I went to the family and Luvo was there. And I arranged that the 8 people who did come in our committee, they must be involved. And last week I did call themselves, the new coach of Luvo. Luvo was present even at home. So as a committee, we'll get thorough briefing after the meeting, but I feel that after our own meeting, I want that we must be discussing the way forward for this guy. We missed one medal because he has been getting medals every now and then, but because of fatigue, and we'll also tell you, we discovered where TIC is in that area, and I'm suspecting that the whole committee will make endeavors that those who are doing that, the law must take its course. The second thing that as a committee, as a chairperson of the committee, we've seen in the media that girls who were coming to play netball here in the Western Cape, they were involved in a car accident because they were traveling with these taxis. And then one girl from Val, she's still hospitalized. He had an injury in her neck, and now is no longer have to walk, herself is just disabled. I'm suspecting that I will propose a committee after this that we must indicate what already they've done, which happens in the end, and the staff that were planning to go and visit her. She's now here in Grootegeluk. So I'm suspecting that we must not discuss that. After our agenda, we must engage each other. Is it in order? Thank you. What is not in the agenda that I've noticed is that we didn't put the report about the strategy planning. So I'm proposing that our number 4 in the agenda, the office must report about the strategic plan which you ask us to plan, in order that we must know whether we are going to our strategy this month or any other month. It's going to be our number 4. I'm presenting this agenda in front of you. I would love to have those who are happy about it to propose and second, in order that we must go to our last minute thing. I don't know whether it's a norm. Thank you, whip of the committee. They are proposing. Yes.
No, I mean that we are talking.
Any second?
Amended agenda.
Let's go to our last minute. The date, it was 23rd July. Page 1, any corrections?
No, just before that, the concern that one of the committee members being seen on the TV on behalf of the committee. I thought it needs to be corrected.
Oh, thank you. It's not in the agenda. Thank you, Honorable Strike. Can we take this moment to tell you, honorable members and the people who are with us, this committee didn't give anyone any mandate to go to the media on behalf of this committee, because I didn't. Sometimes the chairperson doesn't wait for the mandate because he's looking after the committee. We want to tell you that we have called USAFA in order that they must report to us about the broadcasting one, the new one. So, unfortunately, members have been phoning me saying that they've seen Honorable Maladze in the SABC. They were thinking that he was presenting the committee. Can we correct that he did go there as individual member of this committee? So we still have right to engage with the relevant people whom we have called to come here. That's what I can say today to you, honorable members. Thank you.
No, Chair, it's just that I'm not sure whether we would want to individually do as we wish, because it will put this committee in disarray. I thought we need to agree that the Chair will put across the views of the committee. And once individuals engage with the media, then they should do that as individual members, not as part of the committee, because our spokesperson at the committee is the chair. But it is even deeper, because I mean, as the committee, there are certain things that we must achieve collectively. So if we are going to want to work independently, we might end up creating tensions for ourselves.
Honourable members,
Chair, I think there's a misperception here. And I think it's quite important that we also acknowledge that as much as the outcome of committee discussions are mostly reflective of the collective of the committee, there is no legislative hindrance that stops individual members of portfolio committees to have views on specific matters. As long as those matters and in their expression on those matters, it is quite clear that in which capacities they articulate those positions. And in the capacity that I articulated those positions, there was no hint whatsoever that it was the view of the broader committee. It was the view that we held, that, you know, as a party we held, and it was a view that we felt necessary to express. And I think that we shouldn't in any case see the expression of positions on any matters as something that goes against the spirit of the portfolio committee. Otherwise, it will be quite imaginative to expect that every view on any developing matter will first have to be mobilized through the committee before we can have any views.
Thank you, Chair. I think if we had to discuss this issue of honorable, we had to put it on the agenda. Now we were still busy with the agenda. Then comes an issue before the real agenda. But I think if the Honorable didn't go there on behalf of the committee, unless if he presented himself as somebody who is representing the committee, then it's wrong. If he was there due to his responsibility as DA member and all that, I don't think it's going to be a problem. Thank you.
We're taking what we are proposing, that himself, because if you did hear himself, it was, he said, a deliberation of a committee. So let's not entertain, because I was not expecting this thing that will be raised, but those who raise, they have a right, because I couldn't give them answers. Let's shelve it. Maybe it must be an item on its own, in order that we must take each other to what is expected of us. Thank you so much. I was still on the minutes. Let's go back to our minutes, and I've said page one. Any corrections? page two. Excuse me, I can't see. Is Safa here? I would want to see them around here. They must come closer. Yes. Okay, thank you. Page two. Page three. Page four. Page five. Hoping that you have read the minutes. 6. Anyone must say something about the minutes?
Madam Chair, the only missing thing in the meetings is that the committee made a request and there was a commitment from the Lotteries Board that they'll provide the committee with a detailed breakdown of the funding provided to sports federations or for sports-related activities, and it's not reflected in the meeting, in the minutes. Thank you.
I'm suspecting they are correct. The section will include that. Any other thing that you still remember that it comes from hotels?
I'm sorry to say something, honorable.
Are you still correct?
On page 4, where my input was captured, I think Eastern Cape was used as an example, not as a sort of specialty, because it says especially the Eastern Cape.
Okay.
I remember I said the example is Eastern Cape.
No, yeah. There's some boat is saying on my left hand side, okay, fighter, I know you as Honorable Mutek. I don't know that name to you. Thank you. Somebody must say something about the minutes.
Move that we adopt this amendment.
Any second?
Second.
Honorable Member, last first second that you have done with the minutes. Thank you so much, Honorable Member. Now, whoever is here, let me give himself or herself, and I'm seeing that all these visitors of ours, there's no need even to say her. I must say anyone who's leading USA Football Association must have this opportunity. Once I've said, we are thanking them to come when we wanted them to come to the committee because of some things that are not yet clear to us as a committee, that they must brief us and introduce themselves, except that when it comes to the time of question, I can't just chair not asking questions. I can be irresponsible leader. So I've taken this decision that immediately that the briefing is over, I will thank and ask first the questions in order that I must allow all committee members. I'm suspecting I'm raising this thing because of one comment one other day that I must chair and then leave the committee. It can be irresponsible of a leader of my caliber not to ask questions. I'm leading here and I've got a broader mandate like anyone. This one is just an additional mandate to say. Thank you so much. South African Netball Association Football. There's someone who said I must be partial. I'm very partial, but at least being a former GK number 7 of Netball, I'm always thinking about this netball, especially that I was having an event that I was the speaker of the day in the netball while they were here in Cape Town. I'm very sorry, honorable members and the guests. May I have a briefing from South Africa Football Association? Thank you. And the introduction, who is with us?
Honorable Chair, thanks very much for the opportunity. Let me also say, honorable members, I would be taking this opportunity to introduce the team with me from SAFA, but we are not all of us here present. The other team will be joining us because we're given different times. Now I have our CEO of SAFA, Mr. Honorable Dennis Mambo. Not sure whether I should address them as Honorable Dennis Mumble is the CEO of SAFA, and then in also we have the CEO of AFCON Chen, which you might all know, in our presence. We also have the CFO, Mr. Tami Tulu.
Can you give us the name of all whom you are introducing? This is a new committee.
Right.
We don't know you, all of you.
Thanks, Chef. We have got Mr. Dennis Mambul on my right here, is the CEO of SAFA. And then we have the CEO of the AFCON chain, Mr. Mvuso Mbebe. Some might be knowing him. And so we have the CFO of AFCON chain, Mr. Tami Tulu. And then we have my back here. It's Mr. Fabello Selinga from chain also. And we have the manager in the office of the president, Mr. Ndengesi, is from the Eastern Cape originally. But now, Dennis Orda is coming from the office of the president, Dennis Orda, not of the country. And myself, I'm Lucas Nzapo, originally from Limpopo. I'm the vice president of SAFA, temporarily leading this delegation before the president will be arriving. I think they'll be arriving in a few minutes. But as you asked, Chair, is that for now we will be presenting airport on the AFCON chain, and then later on we'll be presenting a report from SAFA, and over to somebody.
Honorable Chair, honorable members of the Portfolio Committee on Sport and Recreation, Mr. Vice President, thank you, sir, for the introduction. Actually, you're not my vice president here, you're my director of the board. So, director of the board. Luckily, honorable members, they introduced themselves, but I want also, on behalf of the board, introduce that Mr. Nsapo is the director of the board and the chair of the audit committee of the board. Mr. Mambul is also a member of the board. Mr. Ndengesi is a member of the board. So, besides that, they are here as part of the SAFA delegation, but they are also board members. Just to talk about AFCON and Chen, we'll try, Chair, to be as quick as possible. Just as a background, that in August 2011, it was announced that SAFA will host the two championships, the Orange AFCON and the Orange Chen. And honorable members may remember, this came after the happenings in Libya, where it became impossible for the Libya Football Association to host the tournaments because they were due to be hosted in Libya. And South Africa was supposed to host in 2017. So then the rights were then swapped with South Africa. Because Libya was going to host both tournaments, 2013 and 2014, so when the rights were swapped, though South Africa was going to host the AFCON 2017, it meant the obligation for South Africa was to host both tournaments, 2013 and 2014. And this was driven largely by the desire to know, because the whole continent, when it turned to South Africa, they said, you already have got the infrastructure. So because you've got only 1 year when the swapping happened, you really needed somebody who has already got the infrastructure, who can be host, who can be able to host the tournament. And it was also for South Africa to be able to showcase the infrastructure and the legacy that was created by 2010. So together, between staff and government, it was agreed that they will set up an independent company to run the two tournaments, which is the company we're talking about, which is called the Africa Cup of Nations Non-Profit Corporation, LOC. That is the company that was then formed, which I'm going to come back now to. And then that was the first step. The second issue was that the Honorable Minister, after the cabinet meeting, which decided which cities are going to host what tournament, because every time we come, sometimes even before, we're always questioned, why do you host this? Where? It was a cabinet decision of the Republic of South Africa where the various activities would be hosted. They decided that it would be held, AFCON 2013 would be Nelson Mandela Bay, Echegwini, Rustenburg, Mbombela, and Johannesburg. Chen 2014, it was Polokwane, Mangaung, and Cape Town and Kimberley at that stage when the initial announcement was made. But later on, having assessed, we were then informed that Kimberley has been withdrawn because there was just not enough time to build the infrastructure in Kimberley to be able to host the Chen 2014 tournament. But Kimberley will be dealt with in a different legacy project. So what did you seek to succeed when you were hosting this tournament? One of the key things we knew for it to be successful as a tournament, both tournaments, it was going to be the performance of Bafana Bafana leading up to and during the tournament, because that's what gets any hosting nation. It needs the performance of its team. It drives the tournament. You could see in Glasgow the way the Scottish and the English people performed drove the psyche of the support of that tournament. So the psyche of the performance of your hosting nation is always the driver of the state of this. Full stadiums, a high level TV production and maximum coverage, a comprehensive marketing and communications plan. We also needed to ensure that the event is used to promote social change, get support from corporate South Africa, get governmental support and commitment, ensure football stakeholders and institutions act in unison, maintain and reinforce the event as the ultimate sporting event in Africa. Our mandate is that the tournament must become the event of the global football society at large. We must set benchmarks for the continent and hopefully for global events. We must enhance the football brand in Africa and South Africa in particular. And this was important because there was always this accusation that South Africans tend to consume more European football than African football. We needed to position the SAFA locally and in the football fraternity. We'll create a platform to enhance brand South Africa on the continent, and especially at the backdrop at that time of the xenophobia and so on. So it was important that how we position this tournament was critical insofar as the brand South Africa was concerned. We need to make sure that we can present an attractive value proposition to be profitable on its own rights. Because the money was very clear here that whatever we have as money, we need to at least break even. We cannot go back to government or to SAFA or to anybody to say, can we get more money? We have not been able to run the tournament. We need more investment. So we then set ourselves six objectives. The first one was to deliver a similar high-quality event that South Africans are accustomed to. We need to reposition SAFA locally and in the African football fraternity. We need to get the nation and the continent behind the event. We need to enhance the football brand in Africa in general and South Africa in particular. We need to create a platform to enhance brand South Africa on the continent, and we need to deliver some profits for SAFA. The delivery mechanism. This was the structure that was agreed on delivery of the tournament. We had CAF. We've got the CAF, which is the owner of the rights. CAF set up and CAF organizing committee. And then we set up the company, which had SAFA as 100% shareholder. And with national government and provincial and local government as key stakeholders, then with other stakeholders like your sponsors, broadcasters, and other stakeholders, then you have the company itself, which is AFCON 2013 LOC NPC, which was mandated to do that. The statutes that governed us were the Memorandum of Incorporation, which not only was approved by SAFA, it had to be approved by the DTI and had to be approved by SARS because it was an NPC. There's an obligation that SARS must agree to that. We had the organizing association agreement which was signed between SAFA and the CAF. We had the AFCON chain regulations and other CAF directives. Then between us and the cities, we had the host city agreement, stadium use agreement,
and then roles and responsibilities are clearly defined, what the cities are responsible for and what we are responsible for. The board of the LOC, from May 2014 when it was established, up to May 2014, it was Dr. Oliphant, who was the chairperson from October 2013, after Chief Mwelo Nkonyane had resigned from the board. We had the Honorable Minister Fikile Mbalula, we had Honorable Minister Lishesi Sinoli at the time, we had Honorable Minister Eunice Karim, Honorable Minister Aaron Motsoaledi, Honorable Minister Nathan Tshwetsa, Honorable Minister Nosibe Mapisa Ngabula, Honorable Martinus van Schalkwyk. At that point, it was Honorable Deputy Minister Tlanda Nene, who is now the Minister Tlanda Nene, who was the Chair of our Finance Committee. Mr. Captain Nematandani, Chief Mwelo Nkonyane, was the chairperson until he resigned from the board. We had Mr. Mandla Mazibuko, Dr. Ivan Khoza, Dr. Denis Jordan, Mr. Anne Ndegezi, Mr. Phubalang Kubensami, Ms. Nomsa Mashango, Mr. Ntlapo, the Vice President who just spoke now, Mr. Alpha Mchunu, Mr. Ezra Sushana, and then Dr. Robin Peterson again, who resigned from the board in May 2013, Mr. Dennis Mambu, who came in when Dr. Robin Peterson resigned, Mr. Gideon Sam, the President of SASCO, Mr. Zwelinzima Mavazi, Mr. Epin Shingila, Mr. Tumele Mdlamini, Mr. Shaudi Muzonem, and Ms. Nolisa Fabute. So that is the board of the LOC that governed and made sure that the organization is run according to its mandate and according to good corporate governance. The official mascots for the two tournament, one, is that for the AFCON, the main theme was Beaded Africa's Feet, and those were the four mascots. The logo itself, Takuma, which was the official mascot, which was assigned to us or ceded to us by the Department of Sports and Recreation. We have now ceded the rights back to them, and the mascot has been handed over back to the Department of Sports and Recreation, with the official trophy, and then with Kakeho, the official tournament ball. For Chen, again, Takuma was still the official mascot, with the trophy, and again, Kakeho is the official ball. Our marketing and communication pillars of the tournament was to educate and create awareness about the tournaments, and then create excitement that will drive ticket sales and stadium attendance for us to deliver the tournament. How we deliver the tournament, we made sure that there are four critical components or pillars that we needed to make sure that we put our best foot forward on: the people that we'll employ, the technology that we'll deploy, the infrastructure that we'll use, and the process systems that we put in place to ensure we run the tournament successfully. Those are the four critical components from a delivery viewpoint on that. Insofar as people are concerned, we're looking at three things: the competence of the people in the area of competence. That's, for example, one of the things we look at to say we need somebody who deals with accommodation, we need an accommodation expert. It doesn't matter whether they know football or they know netball or they know the cricket, so long as they are experts in accommodation. But equally, if we look at the technical aspects of the tournament, we need a football expert, somebody who understands the dressing room. We look at the people in the dressing room. But if we look at the pitch, we need to know pitch experts. So we're looking for competence as one component of the people that we're looking at. Secondly, we need tournament experience. Do they have any experience around any tournament that they've held so that they can bring that on board? And then committed. The issue of committed was important because with such a short notice, with 9 months from the time the structure was put in place to the time of delivery. So we need people who are prepared to work 24 hours a day for the 9 months for AFCON and then for the 12 months for CHEN. So it was important for us that we believe that out of that, we then are going to create a culture of high performance. Secondly, we need, and one of these same things we used when we were looking at our volunteer corps, which was going to be able and willing to serve the nation. In terms of process, we need to make sure that we have got LOC objectives, the CAP objectives, and then out of that, we create our business plan, our action plan, and our implementation process, and then the monitoring processes to make sure we meet that, underlined, obviously, by the OA and the CAP regulations. In terms of technology, what was required of us, we need to make sure that we've got good connectivity at the various sites and in the places of work and in the stadiums, the information technology that we're using. We need to make sure that we've got fast information technology because we need to make sure, for example, for journalists, that people, if they take photographs, they can instantaneously load their photographs into the internet. We need to make sure that we've got adequate power, and it was 200% redundancy on power insofar as each stadium was concerned, and that power from the stadium and to the broadcaster needed to be separated. And then obviously broadcast technology was high definition for both tournaments. Insofar as infrastructure is concerned, we need to look at the offices, we need to look at the hotels to be used, the transport mechanism, and the stadiums that were in there. And obviously most of this infrastructure is infrastructure that we had. We just had to remobilize it because it was there for 2010. For AFCON, the stadium, the opening and closing ceremony was at the National Stadium. Chair, there is another debate there one day around the issue of FNB Stadium and National Stadium. It is the longest debate we've ever had for AFCON, where this would be called FNB Stadium or National Stadium, because there was the issue of ambush marketing that was in play. I remember we solved this matter on the 23rd of December 2012 with the Honorable Lacey, Honorable Mbalula, and Honorable Nene meeting FNB just about a month to the tournament. That was the only time that agreement was reached that we used that stadium. It was Moses Mabhida Stadium in Ethekwini. It was Nelson Mandela Bay, in Nelson Mandela Bay. Then the Royal Bafokeng Sports Palace in Rustenburg, and then Bombela Stadium. Then for 2014, it was the new Peter Mokaba Stadium. It was the Free State Stadium. Then in Cape Town, it was the Cape Town Stadium and the Arsenal Stadium. And the Cape Town Stadium are used for the opening and closing ceremonies. Then in terms of support infrastructure, to support our infrastructure, the accreditation process, which was willing and able given to us by the State Security Agency. It was security as provided to us from a NetDocs perspective, the security forces of the country, as well as the relevant private security, our own logistics, as well as the issue of health and medical services, willingly supported by the Department of Health. Now we come to the report on AFCON. We'll deliver now the report on each tournament separately. You see the others, we're just doing it in them. They now are going to come to the report of each of the tournaments. For AFCON, we had 16 participating teams, 32 matches and 17 match days. Both for AFCON, the matches were in the round robin were double headers, which meant that we only have, the single matches, but were two games playing at the same time in two different stadiums. And those were the groups that were held in the various groups. Group A was in Ethekwini, that's where Bafana was. Then Nelson Mandela Group B, Bombela Group C, and Rustenburg Group D. And these are the groups in the various stages. Obviously, we all know that ultimately Nigeria was the tournament winners in here. Each host city was then given its logo in terms of how it promotes association with the tournament. And then our message as the tournament, it was the bid at Africa's feet, going in line with that issue of repositioning the African brand. And the bid here was very clear that football is the bid that gets Africa going. On the other side, South Africa is at the end of the tip of the continent. It's at the feet. It humbles itself to be asked to host the tournament. So that's why the bid at Africa's feet. But it's the bid as well as South Africa that keeps going. Then this was the road to AFCON in terms of the various activities that happened. In terms of the achievements that we achieved, South Africans and the continent large rose to the occasion and came out in large numbers to show their support for the ultimate soccer tournament. The indicative figures that we got from the Department of Tourism is that during that month, there were about 40,000 people in addition to the normal people that came to South Africa at the time. That came to South Africa to see the tournament. We all remember the Ethiopians, they drove most of them from Ethiopia, coming down to be part of this tournament. We delivered what now has been termed the best Orange Africa Cup of Nations as defined by CAF and the international media. We truly celebrated Africa in terms of our opening ceremonies, and the ticket sales and distribution shot up to an African level of about 753,000 people actually bought or got tickets in their hands to attend this particular tournament. in terms of what we seek to achieve, we are targeted to 500,000 attendants. We received 753 attendants. They've said they've never seen this. I mean, they've always been half of that at best, where they've had their best tournament. We had to get the nation in the tournament behind the events. The tournament was pronounced by CAB and international media as the best Afro Cup of Nations ever, as well as by the president of the country when he opened as last year the state, this year at the State of the Nation address, last year the State address. We had to put in reposition SAFA in terms of the football fraternity, and we were pronounced successfully. So SAFA got that really people felt that SAFA has done a wonderful job. Well, it was not for us. We were a board that has been established to help SAFA to deliver on this. And then in terms of what was expected of us, we were expected to break even at 500,000 rands, but we did manage for AFCON to deliver a net profit of 3.6 million. Because we knew that AFCON needs to give us some profit for us to be able to take that money and plow it into CHAN so that we can deliver a successful CHAN as well. Then in terms of government grants, we received 102,000 from government. Money that we used and we had to recover from the cities was 19 million rands. CAP funding came at 54 million rands. Then commercial and other income came at 121 million rands. So in all, we had an expenditure of 297 million rands, of which we spent 293,000 of that. In terms of the expenditure that we received from government, we received 83,974 from the Department of Sports and Recreation. We received 18.5 from the Department of Arts and Culture, which gives us 102 million rands. Then how did you spend the money from government? It was as per the line items provided to us by government. We spent 17.177 million rands on tournament transport and accommodation against a total cost of 22 million, which meant that we spent 5.5 million rands out of our own resources. Tournament logistics and operations, we spent 1 million rands as allocated by government against a cost of 93 million rands. Public mobilization, which includes marketing, we spent 25 million rands against 38 million rands. To support the volunteers, we spent 9 million rands against a cost of 11 million rands. The rest of the other costs, we covered them from our own resources. And then the 18.5 of the Department of Arts and Culture was dedicated to the opening and closing ceremonies, of which we spent 49 million rands. So that's how we spent the government funding that was allocated to us. Then the report on 10 2014 tournaments. Again, we had 16 participating teams with 32 matches, 16 match days. The difference between the two tournaments that whilst AFCON had on the same day two games playing in two different stadiums, with CHAN it was two games played in the same stadium each and every day. And Cape Town has hosted Group A and B, Mangaung Group C, Polokwane and Group D. These were the groups, and we all know that Libya then won the tournament. These were the AFCON cities logos for the three cities that hosted the tournament, Polokwane, Mangaung, and the city of Cape Town. The messaging was Africa's home champions. The reason again is a little bit slightly different from the Beat Africa's fit for AFCON, but even here you could see that we're still resonating around the issue of Africa. The continent, why Africa is the continent where football stars are born. We all know that the European leagues at this stage thrive on African players, and that's the truth and that's a fact. Home stands for the local leagues, where the champions make their mark and keep the home fires burning. And champions means that these people themselves are champions in their own right. You don't need to go to Europe to be regarded as a champion. They are champions in their own countries and they are champions of Africa. This is what is our role in the various events that we embarked upon leading up to CHAN 2014. And then in terms of achievements, we had earmarked CHAN to break even financially, but however it has said our expectations became profitable even more than the AFCON. This achievement was made possible by stringent cost management and by the contribution of our government, the host cities and commercial partners. The company is budgeted to break even for the year ending February 2014, but we actually achieved a profit of 1.9 million under very difficult trading conditions. in terms of getting the nations behind the event, we had targeted 187,000 tickets to be sold. We only achieved 72,000 sales. Again, to a large extent, as I've said, when Bafana Bafana dropped out here, really the interest of the tournament in terms of people buying tickets, we still had good attendance achieved. We've got about 250,000-260,000 people that attended, but these were free tickets that we had to distribute as the organizing committee to actually get the numbers going. Again, we needed to enhance the football brand. We needed the Camp Expansion Organizing Committee to declare the event the best and most successful. And in fact, because of that, it was upgraded by CAF, by FIFA, to be a Category A event. Before that, FIFA had not recognized CHEN. Now it recognizes CHEN. And then, and again, CAF has declared us the best tournament ever hosted. In terms of the monies, the government grants, the OCD recoveries, we got 4.5. CAF funding, 21 million rands. Commissioner's income, 21 million rands, which gave us 102 million rands. In terms of expenditure, we spent 99 million rands, which meant that we're left with 1.97 million rands at the end of the financial year. Again, government funding. Funding income, 36 million rands from the Department of Sports and Recreation, 7 million rands from the Department of Arts and Culture. And then, obviously, we raised our own resources at 59 million rands. And then, tournament and transport expenses, as the line items agreed with government, we spent 22 million rands on that, against 23 million rands. On tournament logistics, the government funding had been allocated 10.9 million against 33 million rands. Public mobilization and marketing, we spent 1.35 against 1.7. Tournament insurance, we spent 200,000 from the government funding against a cost of 1.2. Then admin cost, we have been allocated 1.5 against an expenditure of 1.8. Then the Department of Arts and Culture, in terms of this opening and closing ceremonies, contributed 7 million rands against the cost of 10.615. Then if you combine the two events, well, I'm sure honorable members want to know, when you combine the two events, what were we left with? We were left with 5.6 million rands as at February 2014. But obviously there will be additional costs from that point onwards. Then if we projected the cost that we incurred between 1st of March 2014 and the 31st of July 2014, our net surplus will only sit at about 3 million rands as we are busy now closing down the company. However, we are still owed money by the two following municipalities from AFCON, Rustenburg and Nelson Mandela Bay, which are in the process of trying to recover that money from those cities. Or that 3 million rands, if we don't get that money, it will put us in a deficit. Then in terms of, in conclusion, these were the social partners that CAF came to support the tournament. It was the African Union with the theme Make Peace Happen. It was United Against Malaria. It was the Gold Project around education based poverty, and with the UNAIDS as well as part of our social responsibilities. Our funding partners for the two tournaments, obviously separated accordingly, with the following: Orange, Standard Bank. Orange as a communications company in South Africa, in the continent. Standard Bank, Samsung, IFG Capital, Pepsi, Doritos, Nissan, Pan Atlantic, Powers, and Asuba. Our host broadcaster for the two events was SABC. We are really thankful for them because they really came in a big way to support us in this event, especially for CHEN, because they really delivered beyond. In fact, Kevin Campbell was saying we must cut back on the production. He said, no, we are representing a country. We can't do a mediocre production. We're going to do the best we can. And we're very thankful to the SAPs for that. In terms of our national sponsors, with SA Express, the National Lotteries Board, and in terms of branded licenses, people that came in to give us in kind, with the passenger rail services, which gave us buses and trains, Southern Sands and Sofa's accommodation, and Rainwater, they provide us with water
for the CHAN tournament. In terms of government department and institutions, the Department of Sports and Recreation, the Department of Arts and Culture, CASFITA funded our internship program. Services CASFITA also funded our internship program. The state security agency ran our accreditation at no cost to us. Partners and stakeholders were very thankful to the President of the Republic for the support we received from his office. The South African government cabinet will receive support from various departments to host the tournaments. Without the guarantees and the support, it would not have been possible for us to do to deliver the tournament the way we delivered it. The Honorable Minister of Sports and Education, who really became our face most of the time, the DG, who behind the scenes was really making sure that we can get and unblock for us the various institutions of government and the funding that we needed and the various requirements that we need to make sure that we get proper accounting to government. The various national departments issued the various guarantees, the provincial government, the host cities, the various portfolio committees in the three tiers of government. I remember we came here, I think it was in August 2012, to present our plan and our thoughts, and we really got support from the committee, and I'm happy that we called back to account boys. We promised that time that though we're here now, I was asking for to be supported, please at any time when you want us to account, give us a call, we'll be back to account for what we had asked to be supported. CAF, SASCO, SAFA and PSL that gave us support. NetJocks and ProfJocks really were very thankful. Without NetJocks, I think the event would have been limping. They are a very good institution of government. They really helped us to make sure that we secure the event and run accordingly. The airport company for facilitating as our guests are coming through the ports, the South African Revenue Services, the local and international media, the board, the volunteers, the staff, and the various suppliers to the LOC. South African Revenue Services.
Thank you very much, Chair.
I'm suspecting it was overdue. 2010 to today's 2014. So thank you so much, Tatum Mbeck. I don't have anything to say except that now, as a committee, we can do oversight. Each and everyone who was involved in 2010, we're not going to hear from the media and from whoever. We are about to finish to call everyone to account in order that sometimes we must project what is right and correct the unfounded maybe accusation to what we've given by each and every somebody whom we called. Mine, I'll be giving the committee to raise question and expecting you to answer those questions, except that as we have been doing this exercise, we did call Lotus. Lottery, they did tell us that they did give you 120 million. I was expecting that amount of lottery is under government, but I've seen that is in other people who contributed. So we wanted to confirm that lottery said it did give you 120 million. And then I'm suspecting that some of my questions I'm no longer going to raise because you reflected. I was wondering in our documents there was no reflection of this thing of Lotta. That's why I was going to ask why are they not mentioned as partners or supporters of the tournament in your presentation. But now, at the end of the slide, you mention it. And then, I'm suspecting that eMembers has got a right now to interact with you, because in the last time, we were keen to hear you coming to the committee to present in order that this chapter must be closed, because we've been getting indications that we are not yet come to account. Honorable members, this is the time, and I'm suspecting that you are all happy, and we must raise clarification and grey areas from the people whom we have been waiting to any intake. Let me start. One, Honorable Manana, Jalisa, Honorable Member. You see, all 11 of 12 of them, they are raising their hands. I'm sure you must be ready. Let's start from you, the last one of the committee. I don't know about Umalaza, how old is he? But with the women, this is the last one.
Thanks, Chairperson. Firstly, I would like to welcome the presentation from Honorable Mbuzo, Honorable Mbebe. So I thought, Chairperson, I thought I'll be the last person to ask my question, but anyway, because you have already noted me, be the first one to speak. Honorable Mbebe, I would like to ask you one question which I always heard it from the media. I didn't have a committee member. I put no interest to listen anything from SAFA or SAFA from the media. As you are here today, I would love to ask you this question about it, about the CIRTV since lately reported in the media. As I'm saying that, I'm not going to ask the question that I've heard. I mean, I have to ask you as a SAFA committee while we are here that you have signed a new broadcasting deal. So as we would just want to know, we would just want to hear from...
Excuse me, Honorable Member, is the next presentation from SAFA that the first question that you are raising?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You can raise another one.
Oh, all right.
Honourable Chair, we are also welcoming compliments. If there are no questions,
did you say that 8 of them or 10 of them are still going to ask questions? Don't jump the gun. We're still going to get questions fired to you.
Thanks, Chairperson. Can I just leave these questions for the second?
Thank you, Honourable Member. You must not think that nothing is going to come. Honorable Member.
Thank you, Chairperson. I wonder if money is going to be relevant. But there were promises that were made during the World Cup 2010 that they would see, at least now, sort of an assistance going down to the sports lovers and those that are dealing with sports on the grassroots, on the grassroots level. So I didn't see any financial assistance. We've been waiting. Fortunately now, I'm one of the directors of the team that is playing, soccer team that is playing in the castle, the SAP castle. I was also looking up, really now to get something. So as people now in the rural area, so I didn't see anything. I just want to check it now, what happened. Thank you very much.
Next question, thank you.
Chairperson, thank you very much. The first question is simple, is to check if during these games or tournaments, is there any provision that is made for the portfolio committee should they want to make the oversight during that time, or the portfolio committee is just left here and it's going to be attended after the tournament for reports like the one that we are given today. Number two is to check again as to what becomes the main
objective of the organizing committee during these competitions? Because I can hear that there is surplus, which I think is good, but one wants to know if it becomes an objective that at the end of the day we would want to have surplus or profit, so to say. Maybe compared to the performance of our team, Bafana Bafana. The reason I ask this is because sometimes it happens that you will find during the competition that there is a looming strike. Players are saying now they can't carry on with the games because of they want more money, and that becomes a problem. We have had that, though we're not there with Nigeria as the World Cup was taking place. So I just need clarity on that one. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, and thank you for the presentation. I'd like to know on the volunteer corps, what do? You keep a database of these people and use them for future, again, if we need them? Then also, how many volunteers did you recruit? And what is the breakdown of the 9 million spent on the volunteers? Very interesting. Transport for Safa, when I pass by, drive by the Safa house, I always see many, many buses just standing there. And from my point of view, I always ask myself, what have been done with these buses? Are they being utilized when you have events? Then on the public mobilization too, 25 million was spent. I'd like to, if you can, give us a breakdown of how it was spent, how many people you handed out tickets, who received the tickets, and wouldn't this be related if we have marketing done properly, that in advance we sell tickets instead of afterwards when Bafana drops out, then the ticket sales drop. And maybe on a lighter note, maybe with the new coach checks, we will increase ticket sales. Mm-hmm. So we must go and support everybody and have something like with the World Cup 2010, where we all support South Africa as South Africans, and maybe that will increase. Thank you.
He reserves his wrath. Chair, for me, you know, I see the two games and so far, I see us all working together to try for the same objective. But one of the big problems, and we've heard through the questions, is the noticeability of Bafana Bafana. I mean, if you walk around Soweto, you walk around the town, people are wearing Orlando Pirates or Kaiser Chiefs shirts. They're never wearing Bafana Bafana shirts. And it's almost a club unity and not a team unity. And our goal here is to try and include as many people as possible, and then obviously to rally support behind the national team would be a double-edged win. Now, if we take that AFCON is like a mini World Cup, or is at least a regional World Cup, that we should use the recipes and the tried and tested formulas. So we look at fan parks, we look at you know, giving away tickets to schools in the area as we discussed, and it's no good just giving for Bafana matches and that, or when they go out that we lose interest. Somewhere along the line, we must make fan parks a money spinner, an education spinner, a way of including more people and growing more people into the game. For me, I look at and I'll speak about it more to SAFA, where the team is heading. But when you wear a Springbok jersey or you wear a Protea jersey, you must be proud of the fact that this is your team, this is the ultimate, this is where you need to get to. Having a headache and not wanting to play because you're sick or you've got a headache or whatever the case may be is not a good example to those wanting to be part of the sport. So I see us working together to try and create a groundswell, but also instead of looking at just TV revenue, we look at alternative revenue streams such as these fan parks.
Thank you, Honourable Minister.
Thanks, Chairperson. I've got a few few questions, but the most important one is based on the ticket sales for AFCON, and this is in conjunction with what's reported in the financial statements of SAFA for 2013, where there's a paragraph on page 14 which reads that certain tickets available for distribution could not be accounted for as the reason for the unaccounted tickets have not been clearly determined and investigations are proceeding. So I'd like to get some clarity on that as to how many tickets were involved, what was the cost, and if there was a record showing that there are investigations proceeding, what is the outcome of those investigations if they've been concluded, and if they haven't been concluded, what is the status? The other question is with regards to the guarantees from Telkom and the uncertainty as to where that bill lies with, because there's been interaction between Telkom and the Department of Communications regarding the provision of telecommunication services that were provided during AFCON with the bill of 30 million as to where that process is. Is that uncertainty regarding where the bill should go, is SAFA still sticking to its position, the LOC is still sticking to its position that it should be the Department of Communications or by extension Telkom being accountable for this bill. And lastly, Chairperson, I think it'll, in future purposes, it'll be much more advantageous to the committee to have extensive interrogation of documentation coming to us if we get it on time. As alluded in the content advisor's report, the report only arrived a day before the initial briefing. So that does a disservice to us in terms of SARA interrogating any documents that are at our disposal, so that when we make input here, it's input that's substantive that we've been able to spend time interrogating. You know, it doesn't do us a disservice to start interactions on that record, and I hope that going in future that would be corrected. Thank you.
Thank you,
sir. Master of I addressing myself to Mr. Mbele. I'm very happy that you're reporting that your ticket sales went well. Sitting in front of my TV at the beginning before the tournament, whilst you are making desperate, I've got a marketing background, desperate attempts to make sure that those tickets get sold. I couldn't help but sympathize with you. Today I'm relieved, that actually that effort of yours paid off. Coming now to the content of the report, on this very first page where you talk about ensuring critical success factors, ensure the event is used to promote social change. Point of departure here is that when government grants money, it expects, over and above anything else, a social change. So when you mentioned that, I kept on looking for that statement where your report would say that the social change that has come about as a result of this heavy government grants is ABC in detail. We need that. Without that, you have not successfully accounted to the people that elected this government into power. You may have accounted to the committee, to the cabinet, to the minister of sport, but the people who elected government into power expect a report to go into the media to say that after government granted so many tens of millions of rands, this tournament has brought about these detailed social changes. I'm saying this being jealous of the fact that I come from the Eastern King. A lot of soccer activities happen in Durban and in Johannesburg. And as people who do not live in that province, in either of those provinces, we often ask ourselves, when does SAFA and ITSEP, institutions, if I can use that term, right, consider spreading the cake to make sure that there is a definite impact on the other provinces when it comes to government grants. This is from central government, not just provincial. What social change has come about? Next question still associated with that is, when you chose your artists, what is the breakdown in terms of provinces?
for the tournament, preparing to build up to the tournament. How many came from which province? We need to know that, because everybody's envious when there is a national, international event to see their local self perform out there. But if you only ever see Joburg-based people on the stage, we question ourselves, is SAFA a regional structure? Is SAFA a provincial structure? Is SAFA a national structure? And this goes to show the lack of support of the national team in the provinces. This is where it starts, folks. We don't get surprised when Bafana Bafana perform poorly, because there's very little that links Bafana Bafana with the rest of the provinces. Simple as all that. Now, the final question is, it's about the board, 28, 29 people, quite a big board. It does not make much sense for us to recall those names. Some of the people will know, others we don't. On the light side, I ask myself, who does Dwelling Zimavavi represent? It's one of the few that I know. Okay. I've got nothing against him. Don't take me in any funny way. It's just one person. That but I don't know where so many of them. I know Gideon Selma. I know Dennis Mambro and so on. But there are so many people that I have never heard of here. And we do not know who they represent. But you say they are board members. So it doesn't make sense at all. I tried to stretch my mind as much as I could. And I said, who do these people represent? They are board members there. But where do they come from? Whose interest? Because now you would be knowing that these questions on social impact, they so-and-so must have been there in order to represent the interests of the public. And I think that covers my story. Thank you, Chair.
No, thank you, Chairperson. And thank you, Mr. Mfuzombebe, for the wonderful presentation. And I think, therefore, we want to compliment you for the wonderful work that you did within a very short space of time. That is a compliment. You don't smile. I thought you'd smile. Yeah, but be it a compliment, Chairperson, the only thing that I think it went wrong with them is that they sort of failed to envisage as to what will happen to the Bafana Bafana being knocked out in the early stages of the tournament. That they knew, because you know the performance of Bafana Bafana towards those competitions was clear indicative that it would not do well. And be it as a body, you should have, you know, said we have a target of this match, and they are not going to do well. So what are we going to do? Should they fail? I think of this Chairperson, that you know it should not only be left like that. It should be some sort of an education to South Africans. To say to South Africans that look, when you are a host, you don't only rely on the team as your team that you should do well, but at the same time, being a host of a country, it sort of takes your country and put it somewhere in a map. That it should be an obligation of you as a body to say to it that a case like this does not recur in future. I think I'm clear. My second question, Chairperson, is that I just want to check with members of AFCON as to, you know, throughout the process, what is their relationship with the disabled people of this country? You know, what is it that they do, or how did you relate to them, you know, throughout the stages of the tournament up to the last one? That's my one question. But my other question, Chairperson, you mentioned, Mr. Mbebe, that something about FNP as the national stadium. I think I'm quoting you correct. But as far as I'm concerned, if something is national, it is something that I own. And currently, I'm not sure. I'm really not sure whether I own the stadium. Now, I want to pose a question to you: that who owns the stadium? Is it the government or is it the FNP? You need to be clear. And once you are clear on that one, you also indicate to us as to who does the maintenance of that. Perhaps it would be clear to us as to who actually is the owner of the stadium. I think those are the few questions that I wanted to pose. Chairperson, thank you very much.
No, I'll move on the same note. I appreciate the presentation. Make a statement that it's most unfortunate because we lost because of the fact that we've got infrastructure. So it's most unfortunate that we are still going to host more tournaments of this nature in Africa. And I think it's a good thing that we are doing that at South Africa. What we need to do really is to work on the competitive nature of our national bodies. So we'll have to have that plan and work on that, because we are hosting but we become a laughing stock. And it's unavoidable, I mean, that we'll continue hosting. The other point is that the board, I take it that sometimes if you come here, it might be useful to get a sense that the board, that big board there, has been given a report that is satisfied, because most probably they might have gone through documentation. Because, you know, the way we do things, there will be an oversight of a board, there will be oversight of the minister, there will be oversight of ourselves as a portfolio committee. Related to that, I mean, you gave costs attributed to government, national, but we haven't costed the hidden costs of hosting an event by different municipalities, which is key, because hosting goes with providing infrastructure, ensuring that it's clean, the whole area is clean, security, you know, police. It might be useful that we need to cost that, because it's a complete commitment by government. So that once we compare what government has done, it must be the whole thing. It must not be just part, the one that is contributed directly. It must be also the staff that is provided for security, almost everything, and the infrastructure honored by various municipalities. So I think we need to ensure that is covered. Other things, I mean, are related to just working on the competitive of our national sporting bodies. Because at the moment, my take is that it's unavoidable that we'll continue hosting events, because World Cup has put our affairs in a different level as compared to other African countries.
Thank you, Honorable Strike. The reason for municipalities to owe, we need the final report on that when we investigate those two municipalities. Because we'll be doing oversight. This committee is prepared to go everywhere where people have been given money. We've been complaining of about 15% of Isalga that infrastructure is not there. So immediately that we are telling us that there are two municipalities who are still owing, we need to know why. And through your investigation, we need to go there. Maybe they will be lucky if we have been paid then. I wanted to check with us as committee members. There is a question that I'm not happy about it. That honorable member who declared that he's a director of Ecastle League, that is it not a conflict of interest that being a member of this committee is doing oversight, and they come an alternate member raising this issue as if it's raising issue of himself. I don't want that there must be impression that we don't declare. Sometimes in this parliament, if you have interest, you excuse yourself in that committee. I'm suspecting that I cannot just keep quiet. Honorable members, I'm going to follow this. I will ask not to answer that question. I felt that is a conflict of interest. If the member thinks that I'm wrong, we'll discuss out of this meeting. I felt I was shocked, but I was thinking that I will be consulting, I will be speaking to the members when we are alone, in order that if they are saying that I'm wrong, we'll ask that question to refer to and forward to the committee. But so far I'm feeling a conflict of interest, and I'm sure now, because we still have about three presentation, I've seen Umtawetu Honorable Mutenga, he's the last one in order that we must respond, and we still have three presentations from staff in different categories we must bear in mind. Okay.
Thank you, Chair. As usual, I want to listen first and then, yeah, okay, you can call it then. Let me welcome the presentation and also say well done to the beautiful event that you hosted. And again, this beautiful event, because I know you are good at it, let's look at the legacy behind them, more especially at the rural areas. Do the child in a rural area have that feeling or that pride to say, we have suffered done this and this in the country, that's why we enjoy sports, that's why we're doing this and this. Let's go to the far, far rural. Do they really feel the legacy that all these beautiful events are doing? To my experience, when I go around, it's not. Because why? The tournaments are hosted in big cities, and the beneficiaries most of the time is people from urban areas. That's how it is, reality. And so I'm saying, let us try and suffer. Try to make sure that even those who are far from those stadiums and all that, they can at least show something that during the preparations towards this tournament, we had this field, we had this, and then they can show something. That's the legacy Honorable Flotani was talking about, leaving social results behind.
And the other thing is that I see on the board, that board is dominated by cabinet ministers and all that. So one can get confused whether this is cabinet board of the parliament or of the government, or is the executive of ANC and whatever, all that. I mean, look, going through the names, and you can see this board of politicians. It's board of politicians. So let us also look at that, because when we're talking of the national board for the national thing, let it reflect. Let it reflect not only a party based a board sort of. And I think let us promote also the SAFA schools leagues like that, because that's where this embarrassment we're having of always Bafana. I think over time, if you can have those leagues on the ground level, it's over time we're going to reap the result. If those leagues we used to have at schools and all that, they can go back. They might be there by now, but somewhere, but they're not where other people are living. We don't see them. Thank you.
Honorable Mfuso, no one wants to call you Mbebe. I don't know why. To you, sir.
Thank you, Chair. I'll try and answer them as much as possible, but let me say the first three comments is that the report I've given is an extract of a board report. So just to answer, it's really an extract out of the annual report of the board that it accounts for. It's not just a report of the CEO, it's actually a board report. So I've just extracted from the board what we regarded as the key components. Second, I just want to also to agree with honorable members. There is a lot of that could have been done, but the time was just not there. And I think it's one lesson that we should learn. If you are going to invest so much money on this type of events, you need to give them time to prepare, to get the actual benefit, besides just hosting a successful event, to actually have a plan of really getting the true benefits. Because legacies don't have to be physical. Legacies can be soft issues. But if you don't have time to plan for them, put the relevant infrastructure to deliver them, it becomes a wish list. That's all you can have. And I'm the first one to concede that there is a lot that could have been done around the two tournaments to create proper legacies if we had time. The reality of it, this I was employed in March to deliver a tournament in January, 9 months. A tournament that should have had 4 years to prepare. That's just a reality that was there in front of us. So I'm not saying that in excuse, I'm just saying that some of the things that could have been achieved with the investment that the country did could not be achieved. They remained on paper as a wish list. And lastly, that there was a clear separation of accountability insofar as Bafana is concerned. That it was very clear from our agreement with SAFA that we will not touch, comment, do anything about Bafana. It is their responsibility. We are on the responsibility insofar as the event is concerned. So I will not even hazard to comment about the issues of the national team. It was a SAFA issue. Now coming to the specifics. Chair, we received money from Lotto. The money we received, which we issued an audit certificate, which they've accepted. For AFCON, we received 17.7 million rands. For CHEN, we received 8.5 million rands. I don't know about the 120 million. I would ask them to come here and tell us where that when the money that they gave us, which we've got proof of receiving, and what you applied for, we never applied for 120. They could not have given us 120. We never applied for that. So I cannot even start to say where they might have given it to other institutions to support the tournament. I'm not saying they did not, but I'm just saying the money that came to us was those monies as a company. For AFCON, we received 8.5 million rands. For CHAN, we received 17.7 million rands, which we have issued all the certificates and they've accepted as the money received by us.
CHAN, how much?
CHAN, 17.7 million. Then the portfolio committee, honorable member, in terms of oversight, it's always a very difficult one, but I'll answer it directly because I'm not a good diplomat, so I will not try to be a diplomat today. The agreement with the Chief of Sports and Recreation is that all institutions of government, whether they've got oversight or anything, we will give the tickets to them, and they will distribute the tickets. That included the portfolio committee. We gave those to the department, including the portfolio committee. But yes, when we did receive calls at the last moment to ask for tickets, we tried our best to accommodate. But the tickets, that was the agreement, was that they will be given to them, they will provide the various institutions of government, which include the portfolio committees and the select committee. The issue about profit, the mandate was on such short notice. For us, it was a break-even point, right? That we should break even. I think, to me, you must always balance two things as a counter, and it's very important. We cannot afford to run events that are not within their budget. Because once you give an impression that you can organize an event, it's fine to run it and then go back to government or to whoever, whether it's SAFA or netball, I think that's the wrong principle. I think if you're given a budget, you should run the event according to that budget. And ideally, you should generate funds for the development of that sport going forward. So yes, our mandate was to break even because it was a short notice. That you might have made a profit became just out of us being a CEO, me being a CEO and a management team that said, we cannot just break even. At least we must leave something behind. That was just that, but it was not that. And even though we might have generated the money, we could not have given that money to SAFA to pay players because of that agreement that you are about Bafana Bafana, we are about the event. So they had to worry about the payment of players and everything else. Insofar as the volunteers are concerned, with about 2,000 volunteers for China bought the exact breakdown per city, and with about 2,000 for AFCON and about 1,000 for China. The amount spent on volunteers was for various categories of activities. I may not have the exact breakdown here, but by and large, the majority of that money, we gave a stipend to each volunteer of 200 rands per day for every day they volunteered. So the majority of that money went into that. It went into transporting them from where they were staying into the event and lastly to their clothing. That is by and large where the money went into. I may not have the exact amount per line item, but those are the three, as well as feeding them, because that becomes a cost. On the marketing, on the breakdown of the marketing, obviously we I don't have it here, but again it goes into the critical points around marketing, which is public mobilization. It is the events that go with it. For example, it's not in the event. You'll have the draw that was in Durban, the draw that was in Cairo. It's in part of that mobilization. The various activations of Takuma, I think, came into Cape Town, the buses and everything. That goes into that mobilization budget. And I think one of the remember is the fair point about fan parks and public viewing. We have that desire, but as I said, we just didn't have the time nor the resources as the LOC to make sure that those happen. So we left to a large extent, we said to the cities and provinces, go ahead and establish the fan parks and public viewing areas. Then on the issue of tickets under investigation, honorable member, at the time of the audit 2013, we were busy auditing the course, we were not able to report the cost from the ticketing company. So we're busy auditing that process. We are not happy that what we have received as an income, let us be what we thought is the actual amount. We're not happy. But ultimately, by the time we finish, as you can see, it's not in the audit of the safe we're going to provide that statement. When the auditors were actually finished with the process, we were happy with the accounting of that, of the tickets that were not accounted for at the time when the audit was done. Because it was very tickets that were duplicated in print. So, but when you get the first report, it gives you this amount and you look at the money. But when you then went into detail, you found that the majority of those tickets were tickets that were duplicated in print. But sometimes, when, especially when you've got free tickets, you issue the tickets and then someone comes back and says, sorry, we lost the batch of tickets, can we issue another batch of tickets? So then you print them. But in the system, they count as tickets issued. But actually, you need to go back and audit them backwards and cancel those tickets. And those are the processes that were, at the time of audit, were not done. Insofar as the telecom issues concerned, where we see as the LOC, the matter is closed, because we're informed that this matter is between government and telecom, and telecom is a government institution. So as the LOC, we should leave the matter for government to deal with. So that closed the matter for us. So I don't know where it is. We got that letter in last year, early last year. So I cannot say where the matter is. But first, we must leave it to government to deal with. Honourable Member, I totally agree with you on the social changes that we have not given a detail before. As I've said, we did some, but they are not to the extent we should have done. I think there was quite a lot of issues that we did around the internships, around the volunteers, a lot of economic activities. We targeted small companies, black companies. We targeted the diaspora, one of the things. In fact, most of, if you looked at the splits at face value, we had about 40 to 45% of attendance coming from the diaspora that is in South Africa. Because that was our target. We wanted to go to that diaspora that is non-South African. Yes, we could have done more. And then there's the four campaigns that I'm talking about. So yes, we don't have a coherent report at this stage in terms of that, but I think we could have done much more than that if we had the time. In terms of artists, it's a fair comment. I won't lie, I think the artists mainly came from Gauteng insofar as opening and closing ceremony, and in Cape Town, they came from Cape Town. And again, it was a function of two things. I'm not using this thing as an excuse. It was a function of two things, resources. Secondly, time. You know, when sometimes you're under pressure, you don't have the time to think broadly. Because I think we could have done, though we reflected South African cultures in the ceremonies, but for example, we had the Pedi dramas. But by and large, it was Pedi dramas who were based in Johannesburg. So we tried to reflect the culture. But ideally, we would have wanted to go to Limpopo and get people there, have some competition and get the best dramas to come out. So you really relied on known artists and known people that are in that field. We had the poets, for example, we had the poets in Cape Town. We took Umkiva from Eastern Cape, we took a girl from Khayelitsha. But again, you would have done more, but it was really, that's now saying, let's take what is known that we can trust, because we doesn't have the time nor the support to make sure that we can circulate it, and more could have been done around that. The board, I totally agree with you. It was a big board, but I always say you don't choose your board. You have got what's given to you, but it's breaking into three.
Okay.
The agreement between SAFA and government was that SAFA is going to appoint 13 members. So the majority of those members, save the six I'm going to mention, came from SAFA. Government was going to appoint 9 members. And then government was going to appoint the other, staff was going to appoint a member of civil society, government was going to appoint the other 5 members of civil society into the board. So that was the agreement. So I was the recipient of the figure of the so that was the agreement. That's why Honorable Member were the 9 members of cabinet. It was the president of the country, which we received a letter from the president of the country, that nominated those 9 members. So it was not the choice of SAFA or the LOC. Then government nominated Zwelinzima Vadli from Labour. Gideon Sam from Sport in general, Saudi Musenang from SABC, Kevin Chingila was coming from Supersport at the time, was the CEO of Supersport, the two main broadcasters of the tournament. Then because there was need of business, we also said to government, please make sure we see I've got an all male board. I said, when you look at business, try and get me women. You know? Yes, we had a few members of cabinet that were women. And they came back with two business women, which is Nolita Pawude from Sasol, and Itumele Ngamin, who is the CEO of the building agency. So that's how the board was constructed. In terms of a ticketing campaign, I totally agree with you that we anticipated Bafana Bafana not being there. And we campaigned accordingly. If you look at AFCON, Bafana Bafana exited, but there was no drop. They still continued to hit high notes in those areas. But for Chen, we were quite disappointed by the response of people of Western Cape when we started there. Because we really never anticipated, if you looked at Durban, for the use that during AFCON, where the semifinals were, it was irrespective whether Bafana Bafana was there, the stadium was full. The same thing with the final at National Stadium, the stadium has never seen those figures before even the Chiefs and Pirates play, irrespective because Nigeria is somebody, and was full of South Africans. But we did not get that response here. In fact, we got a better response out of Athlone Stadium than we actually got. Yes, Cape Town Stadium has got good crowds, 17,000 to 35,000, but not as good as we had anticipated. But also we were quite disappointed by Limpopo. We never really got people in Limpopo to buy tickets. There were very, very few buyers. Most of the crowds in Limpopo were people that we gave tickets to suffer structures and schools. So we're quite disappointed by Limpopo. The same thing with Mangaung. We never got the amount of tickets because we knew Bafana Bafana is never going to play there. But we carried on the same campaign that we've done. If you looked at AFCON, Rustenburg was always full. Bombela was full with the Ethiopians. But you didn't get the same response as you got for Chen. I won't lie about the disability people. Insofar as their involvement in the tournament was very minimal. And yes, we tried to make sure that when we recruit volunteers, we're sensitive to it, and when we provide the access to it, we're sensitive to it, but there was very little on it. Who owns the stadium? Yeah, this one is putting me in a very big problem. But I'm not a diplomat, so I'll say it as I understand it, and as the documents that were given to us at the time. The stadium is owned by the Department of Public Works. They've leased it to the city of Johannesburg for 99 years. So it is owned by government. That's the information I have. 99 years. Yeah. So that's the information I have. That was given to us at the time. So beyond that, I can't comment. But where I sit, and from what I know, it is owned by government through those two institutions. FNB just has got naming rights to the stadium. It's a fair comment about getting the comprehensive report, but our understanding the comprehensive report of how much money other government institutions, well, I think it's important to know how much money was spent by other institutions to support the tournament. I understand that should really come from the Department of Sports and Rights, so we'll ask them whether they've prepared that report or not for the tournaments. And we'll provide you what, insofar as the two events are concerned, the two cities are concerned, what they owe us the money for. Chair, with those words, I really want to thank the way the committee has treated us. I'm very happy. Actually, compared to when we came to make the first presentation, I think that we have got very good support and very good support. But I think that as I close, I just want to say that obviously we are closing our report now. When we finish, we have got recommendations that we are going to provide to SAFA and that we are going to provide to Sports and Recreation and provide to the committee. Because I think there are critical things that need to be looked at for future in terms of dealing with these events of this nature. Thank you.
Thank you, honourable members. I won't give you any chance to do a follow-up because we have about three, and I wanted to ask permission that let's start with number D process that was followed broadcasters that were considered in the terms of SAFA, pending broadcasting contract, and then we follow with others. I'm not happy if we're starting with this one. I'm suspecting that it's going to take our own time. Okay. So let me take this opportunity, Honorable Mbebe, I'm sure with your responses. Please. Let me thank you, Honorable Mbuzo Mbebe. I'm suspecting that what we wanted to hear from you, we didn't do justice that time because of time. That's why you were thinking that we were not handling you correctly. If you don't have time, you just take other issues and then we'll be complaining that there are still outstanding issues. That's why sometimes when we call you to come to the committee, it's not because of the rumors or everything that is on the air, especially in South Africa. Sometimes we act because of our good media, and then we don't want to fall on those traps. So thank you so much. And as we are saying that this stadium is for 99 years, I'm suspecting that when Mthatha, somebody didn't finish the stadium and was still trying to assist, the problem of maintenance, it can be an issue. Such a big stadium, if we are leaving to whoever, who can maintain that stadium? But if members felt that, let's ask the Department of Public Works to tell us the reasons that the stadium are leased for 99 years. Now, as a chairperson, I'm suspecting the maintenance is not that's a cheap one. Thank you so much. Now is the time of USAFA to come closer, and you must sit down closer to the chair. These are the gurus of the SAFA. If the president is here, everybody is here. Ne? Let's take this opportunity to, we have already acknowledged that SAFA is in here, and they were telling us that the president is coming. I'm sure according to the agenda, you were giving each other the chance to change what is in the agenda, if you don't mind. I'm suspecting once we were away, we've indicated even with the committee that we've seen even other members have an interest of this CIA. So I'm suspecting because of time, let's start with that item. Tina will be leaving behind as a committee, maybe it's going to be not to have any need after that we've started with that. President, we just came with your leaders who are accompanying you. I'm suspecting that we start from afresh now that USAFA is here. Please tell us who's here in order that we must start. Thank you so much. I'm giving to somebody who wants to give us the people of USAFA. Now I've seen that even your boss is with us. Can you, someone, introduce the entourage of USAFA? Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, and good morning to all of the members. We are privileged to be here with the committee once again, and we'll continue to be here whenever the committee calls us to exchange and to come and answer an account for what we do on behalf of the people of South Africa. To my far left, I'm sure very few people know him, but he's our president of the Denny Jordan, and that's the closest to you, Chairperson, and next to the President is Mr. Thurila Nkumpela. He's from the SAFA, he's an NEC member from, but also from the SAFA Owatambo region. Next to him, as we've introduced previously, our Vice President, Mr. Lucas Nhlapo, from Limpopo. And next to me, Honorable Chairperson, is Mr. Albert Shishana. He's also Vice President of SAFA, and he's from the Western Cape, in particular from the George area, our member called SAFA Eden. And to my right is Mr. Gerald Don. He's also an NEC member from the Western Cape. He's the chair of the Provincial Executive Council of SAFA in the Western Cape. To his right is Mr. Gronie Fluyo, who is the SAFA CFO. And next to him is Mr. Jaco van der Walt. Mr. Jaco van der Walt is from EY, formerly known as Ernst & Young, who is our financial platform. I don't know if there's anyone next to Jaco. Okay. Thank you very much, Chair, and we'll hand back to you.
Thank you, sir. I'm suspecting that I want to change a little bit on the agenda. Honorable members, are you happy when I'm saying we must not start with item C, we must start with D? Are you happy? I don't want to be Hitler. I want a voice.
Thank you, sir. It's a little bit difficult for us to say whether we're happy or not. Perhaps you could give us some reason as to why. Well, I'm not, this doesn't mean that we're against this.
No, I'm suspecting that a lot of presentation and some other things that we discuss as a committee, it will be there in number D. I'm not saying we're not going to go back to the C, but in so many areas that we wanted to get as this committee, it's in the presentation of number D. So that's why I'm pleading. But if you don't feel like I cannot. I want to rule according to the majority.
Chair, I move that we adopt the proposal and we move into it.
Thank you so much.
No, second that.
Okay. Can we start with the in your agenda? I'm sure the process that was followed, broadcasters that were considered in terms of SAFA's new or pending broadcasting contracts, presidential report, even if we didn't mention, and then I'm suspecting this cry of the committee that committee is listening to the media and to some other people who did come and brief us. The president cannot not to tell us what is this mess fixing. So that's why I'm saying let's start with these things in order that when we are running off time, we must do justice on these items. Thank you, my president and the president of SAFA. Let's give you this opportunity to kick on.
Thank you very much, and good morning, Chair. And I'm happy to be here this morning. And particularly to see you in this chair. This is the lady, when I left Parliament, she took my place. I was here in 94, and when I went out of Parliament, the ANC looked at his list and found this lady to replace me as a Member of Parliament at that time. And I'm very happy to come back and to find you to be the chair of this committee. In football, there's substitution, so you've been a good substitute. Chair, I think the matters that you raised, we think there are three issues that we would like to focus on. One is the broadcast issue, the matters relating to CIA, as you raised with us. The second issue is around the finance of SAFA. You may know when we last reported, not us, but the previous administration reported a loss of 46 million. We need to give an update to say where we are and what are the things that we do. And then the third issue that you raise is match fixing. And the fourth issue is football itself, development, performance of our national teams, and so on. Given the time constraints and your resolution of this committee, we'll then follow that order to start with broadcasting, finance. The finance, we have Mr. Jaco van der Waals here from Ernst & Young. We appointed Ernst & Young to assist in the finance division, and they will report the results and the impact that they had. And then the CEO will give you an overview of what's happening in football. And so I will just briefly take you through what happened around the CIA issue. Now, the reality of broadcast rights in this country, and I can leave this with you, the broadcast rights of cricket, of the PSL, of rugby, and I will just indicate, I'll give you these documents, you can have a look at it. The reality of broadcast rights in this country is that rugby's total revenue for 2013 is 759 million. Its broadcast revenue already in 1995, rugby signed an agreement for SANZA and News Corp, a deal of $555 million. That's 1995 to 2005. They renewed the contract for 2006-2010 at $323 million, and the current contract 2011-2015 is $437 million. That's at today's rate is 4.3 billion rands over the period of time, of course, 2011-2014. PSL renewed its contract with SuperSport at 440 million a year. It's 2.2 billion. Cricket signed a deal in Dubai with Z-controlled Touch Television for $202 million, that's 2.2 billion rand. SAFA, 27 million rand. So while the rest of them, the TV revenue was between 350 and 400 million or 500 million, SAFA in a total revenue at 53 million total revenue from broadcasting. And the question is, why is that so? And that is because from one of SAFA's commitment to free-to-air broadcaster, and I told the SABC, whilst you claim the poor as your viewers, it's actually our members. It's not viewers to us, it's our members. These are the people who play in our competition every day. So nobody needs to tell us what's in the interest of our members. And we have made that sacrifice even before the regulations around listed events came out. And what then happened? The fact that the government signed the International Telecommunication Agreement or Protocol and the migration from analog to digital created space for new broadcast players, one of which is CIA. And so the broadcast landscape has changed in this country. So we have to look at new opportunities and therefore new revenue opportunities for football and at the same time secure the interests of our members who are basically free-to-air viewers. They don't have decoders in their houses. They depend on terrestrial free-to-air. And this is the balance that we Now, this issue, unfortunately, is a consequence of the media leaking the story here on Sunday World on the 3rd of August and City Press on the 3rd of August also, two Sunday papers. And this is not the consequence of us calling a press conference and actually announcing this detail, simply because, one, the act is not in place, and you saw issues that were raised around the legislation required to provide for the migration to digital. That legislation is not in place, and a lot of other things are not in place. And so we're sitting here today not that SAFA has announced the deal, but that it was leaked. And I'm not going to go into the reasons why it was leaked, because the fact of the matter is we still have an existing contract with SABC until 30th of April next year, and only next year we will start renegotiating a new contract with SABC. Secondly, that there is nothing that is going to happen between now and until the legislation is actually in place, and you are better placed to know what that date is. We don't know. So all these things are still up in the air. And what impression was created was that immediately, as from tomorrow, no one will see football on SABC anymore. Well, we told SABC, you had the responsibility to dismiss that lie. It's just false. Secondly, that we have denied the poor people the right to view us. Nobody needs to teach us of our commitment to ensure free-to-air television to football. In fact, when we come to Banyana games, we are paying SuperSport and SABC to broadcast the matches. We are paying to see our under-17, under-20 matches on TV. We are paying. So over and above that, it's free to air. On top of that, we pay production costs. And we can send you emails of how much we pay back to the SABC to produce our matches. That's the situation that we have. So the net amount for football is far less than the actual amount that we get. And then you compare it to rugby and cricket. And the point is, why has this country been quiet when rugby has been signing deals outside the country since 1995? Why were they quiet on cricket? Why were they quiet on PSL? Why now? When we have done nothing wrong? When we entrenched our commitment to free-to-air broadcasting? But in any case, even our commitment in word is not enough. There is the Independent Communication Authority and the Sport Broadcast Regulations. It's here. It lists the events. And then it's very clear on 6 broadcasting of national sporting events. Subscription broadcasters who have acquired rights in terms of Regulation 5 must inform the free-to-air broadcasting service license within 5 days of acquiring such rights. These, you cannot deny, even if you are a subscription broadcaster, you cannot deny the free-to-air broadcaster based on regulations and the laws that have been passed. So there is then an obligation, and it's very clear that, and here you can say the specific purpose of the regulations is to prevent a subscription broadcaster from broadcasting international matches solely to its broadcaster, to its subscribers. Because of the significant public interest in international matches and the fact the majority of the viewers are not subscribers, the regulations compel paid TV broadcasters to offer these rights to free-to-air broadcasters on commercial terms. So even if you want to deny them, you cannot in terms of the law. Even if you want to. So that's why I say I hope... and there's a list of listed sporting events made available to, that must be made available to free-to-all broadcasters. And I think, in the end, you made the laws. You are quite aware of it. it's not for me to come and inform you of the laws that you passed in this parliament. So the bottom line is, yes, we signed the contract with CIA. Yes, for the first time, we'll have true value. If rights were paid to South African football for 50 million a year, why would somebody offer you 200 million? Is it true for the last 22 years, Bafana's rights have been undervalued? And must we calculate the loss of 150 million over the last 20 years? And then claim it to say, no, you underpaid us for the last 22 years. Now pay us back. Perhaps we must ask Parliament for retrospective corrective action. Because the basis of the calculation was an apartheid-based calculation. From apartheid days, you remember, we were on SABC 3. If you come on SABC 1, rugby and cricket was there. They were paid millions. Because you're on SABC 2, I don't know whether it's 2 or 3, you're paid 100,000. And if you go back, you'll see this gap. It's a historical problem. And we've addressed that. We have not committed any wrong. We will not deny our members the right to broadcast, but we do have a responsibility to correct those problems in the past. I am sorry that we couldn't brief you before these things happened. We couldn't even deal with our own partners on this matter. You may have seen we've rushed to meet with CIA and SABC to say, man, we're sorry now, we read these things in the papers. So can we correct these things? We met with SABC. We have a contact with SABC. We hope to renew with SABC, but that's a matter for next year. On the 5th of September, Bafana is playing in Khartoum. And on the 10th, Bafana is playing in Cape Town. Those matches will be on SABC. So there is no crisis, Chair. I hope we've clarified our position. So that is
maybe, President, in order that you must do justice, honorable members, this is the first briefing. Do you want to ask question or do? I'm sure if we can do that, we'll do justice. Because as a committee, I'm giving you the authority, President, that when things like this we hear and happening, we cannot respond as this committee. What we must do, we must call that institution or whoever to come and brief this committee. Because we are just a committee of parliament. We are not a committee that must take rumors, and we ended up engaging in the leaked documents. We must make sure, honorable members, in future, that the world is cruel, and that cruelty I don't want to be within us contributing. So this is the time that we must engage the President on that. That's why immediately we call the SAFWA to come and give light to us. So in future we must know that you have a chairperson. If there's something which is on the air on behalf of this committee, no one has not got a right to say, chairperson, call these people. They must come in account. That's oversight role at its best. That's what we are doing. So can I give you time to engage with the President? Honorable Fultan, Honorable Fultan, Honorable Bergman, Mutega, and Honorable Malatse.
Thanks, Chair. To start with, I must say that we really appreciate you having taken time to come and explain this. So many of us were perplexed when we came across this in the family papers a couple of weeks back. And we started wondering where the public would go to, because we know that it's pretty much expensive to have pay TV. But having said that, I think, Shay, for such a serious matter, it is imperative for SAFA to give us a written report. For now, it may be comfortable for SAFA just to take us through a verbal report. But we really cannot engage much beyond today based just on a verbal report. Because if we take notes individually, we can have different reports, or rather versions of what, you know, where Mr. Jordan has just explained to us. That's the first point. The second point is, my understanding is that next year is just a couple of months down the line. And to keep the nation on tender hooks, based on what, on the assurance that you still have got a valid contract up to next year sometime, and therefore we need not fear for now. Personally, I am not comfortable with that. And if I was one of the people who are under threat to miss out on those measures, I wouldn't be comfortable. So I must say that I think I'm speaking on behalf of millions, you know. Fortunately, I had you when you had that engagement there with the SABC, and I was even more uncomfortable with you because I said, this doesn't take us very far, just to say there is a contract up to next year. So we needn't, you know, entertain, you know, fears. I would rather perhaps you tell us what steps you are taking so that we can take a position that will ensure that the people that, you know, we represent here as public representatives, you know, will find comfort in the assurance that come post a contract, come the period after the current contract, you know, people will still be able to view their beloved soccer. Lastly, as a marketing person, the other side of the coin is that when you make your commodity scarce, its value increases tenfold. Look at that element as well. Maybe people have come to take things for granted for far too long, and they've come to expect far much more than they're prepared to sacrifice for. Stadia half empty, and now we're fighting for people to have a right to view soccer, you know, at home. Question is, exactly who are we preparing this nice cake for? Where does the problem lie? Lastly, your legal gurus, they should step in and try and circumvent the situation where people may be denied the opportunity, you know, to view. And I'm 99% sure that you've already started moving in that direction, even though you didn't say so in your report. I'm sure you're not sleeping on this, because reading from your body language, you're quite serious about this. Thank you very much.
Sure, thanks. Look, I'm not a big fan of the SABC fund, to be totally honest. You know, I find that we score our own goals when it comes to the SABC, and it's sometimes very hard to apportion blame on the federation or on the actual broadcast itself. If you look at all the codes that Dr. Yadon spoken about, we should be investigating how come we tend to always lose. So we look at the different sport codes, and we need to find out why we always go through these issues. And I mean, this is the latest one of a string of many, and Boxing South Africa is another one where we're going to have to ask some serious questions with regards to the SABC. In terms of the marketing of Bafana Bafana, and as my colleague says, you know, the scarcity of this commodity, of trying to keep it relevant, we need to look at two things at this moment in time. The paradox is, if you look at rugby and you look at cricket, the stadium attendance, or cricket, the stadium attendances seem to be dwindling, and the TV viewership seems to be increasing. When it comes to soccer, it seems that the stadium attendance seems to be higher, and you know, the household in a maybe a new target market or an advantageous target market seems to be low. When it comes to the competitiveness of rugby and cricket, we need to look at where they are in world rankings and where Bafana Bafana is in the world rankings, and we look at problems there. And again, you know, if we negotiate deals, broadcasting deals now, when we rank to where we are at this point in time, as opposed to when we give Sheikhs a few more months to get us the higher ranking, we might find that this commodity of ours actually becomes more golden. But we need to also then look at if we're going to free to air on a digital channel, and please noting that the concerns that were raised from staff and empathizing with those concerns, how else do we make this commodity more accessible? And I mentioned it earlier with the AFCON in terms of fan parks. I know that with rugby and cricket they introduced these stickers and playing cards. I find that if you walk around, I mentioned this also in terms of the jerseys, you see Orlando Pirates, you know, Kaiser Chiefs, and the prices of the jerseys. Again, if you're trying to infuse people into the sports and you charge them 699 rand for a jersey, how can we get school children wearing our memorabilia without those huge prices? And maybe even look at road shows. You know, that how do we bring Bafana closer to people? Now, if we're going to look at the TV situation and we look at live attendance, maybe another way of looking, of getting people, never mind behind the TV, but into the stadiums, is to look at cheap season tickets for students or group school discounts for groups of schools, where we can try and make sports accessible to the schools or the clubs on a younger level. But most importantly, Chair, I think the most important thing that has to come out, Chair, is that in the past, I'm not sure of how this committee fared. I'm not sure of how this committee, you know, when they were the first to know or the last to know, or they got told at the same time. I really don't want us to be the graveyard of information. You know, that we get to know information only when it's already been through the SABC, the Sunday Times, the Democratic Alliance has had a go at it already, and then it only gets to this committee. This should be the committee that chases it first. This should be the committee that deliberates on issues and strategies and going forward through being presented, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, President. I appreciate clarification, because reading things on paper, and sometimes you have to answer even before you get the facts on the table, is very difficult. So I've got a few questions, or rather comments. I can see you have touched where it matters the most, and you must be ready. I'm talking to Safa. You must be ready, because change is pain. But before I can say your position can be supported or not, let us understand the benefits of the poor. You touch it, but I want to, so that we can compare. From these deals, we have seen you have been robbed for quite some time in terms of figures. But let's go to the people on the ground, the poorest of the poor. How are they going to benefit comparing to the current deal and the deal that can come next year if things come your way? That's where, as public servants, we can make a decision, knowing people who are we are representing, how are they going to benefit out of this compared to what we have now? Thank you.
The last hand is going to be Honorable Rand. I strike. I can't pronounce this name.
La Rehuma.
No,
the friend.
firstly is Honorable Morazi and the last is you.
Thanks, sir. Look, I think before I proceed to my questions, I think the important thing that is clear to everyone is, one, it is important for any entity to find ways of generating revenue that is non-debatable, because its sustainability depends on finding various ways of generating revenue. That is something that we acknowledge, and it's a sense that is shared by many people across this. But I think what would be useful to the portfolio committee, notwithstanding the briefing by the president about where we are in terms of the deal, is to have a sense of what transpired leading up to the deal, because there is a gap of information between the contract and between the deal with the SAPC, which is quite clear to everyone who has followed the story that it expires next year. So there is no threat about free-to-air broadcast in the meantime until the expiry of that contract. But also to emphasize that anyone who has followed broadcast of Bafana Bafana matches or any national team matches on the public broadcaster will have a sense of disappointment with the quality up to date. So that we acknowledge. And any move in terms of the of finding ways of, you know, either leveraging its broadcast rights would have been informed by, one, the need to generate revenue, but most importantly, the need to ensure quality broadcast of national team matches, which hasn't always transpired in the past, hence we have watched certain matches live when they were delayed. But the most important thing for me would be to get a sense as to when did the negotiations begin with CIOTV, and also in that process, because the item on the agenda says who are the other broadcasters considered. Prior or during the negotiations with CIOTV, did SAFA have any engagement with potential broadcasters or not? And what was the outcome of those? Mindful of the fact that in as much as those negotiations at the time, you know, they were confidential, now we are at a stage where there is a deal by the side. And I think it's only fair to understand that, you know, we chose the best option on the table based on whatever was on the table. If there was only one option on the table, that is also another case. But if that choice was informed by a comparative analysis of what potential broadcasters were offering, it's another one. So, I mean, the key thing, I guess, is were there any broadcasters that SAFA approached prior or during discussions with CIA, and what did they offer? And most importantly, because the issue of leveraging the broadcast rights has been, it's on SAFA documents. I mean, even earlier when you came to the portfolio committee, you were in record indicating that you need to find ways of generating maximum revenue, and you identified the possibility of paid TV channel as a potential source of revenue to leverage those broadcast rights. So I think it will be useful for the committee, just so that it is one thing to accept facts that they are being put on the table in a belated state, but I think it will take the committee into confidence if we're given a clear, detailed indication of what were the other options on the table. Was it just a monetary consideration that was prioritized in settling for this deal? Because understanding that my question is on by two things. One, it is critical that we increase the quality of broadcast. Yeah. If it was any other broadcaster, so be it. But we need to understand, was there a competitive open process in reaching where we are now? Thank you, Chair.
No, Chair. I think the context is quite useful for me, and I must thank the President. And we must not lose that context, because it's there, it's real. What is real is that rugby, cricket, have been paid more for quite some time because of the apartheid leaders that we are trying to change now. We haven't succeeded. Still entrenched, that apartheid leaders is still entrenched, very much so, in rugby. That is why we are speaking about the transformation. And somehow, even in terms of sponsorships, It's still the same thing. Companies still want to sponsor around along apartheid lines. It's a fact. It's a fact. Now, you see what confronts this committee is how sport is going to be competitive going forward, how sport is going to be in a position to can be sustainable going forward. Because at the moment, SAFA is dependent on cattle, alcohol. And this committee, already we are aware that we are dealing with that matter of alcohol and tobacco being removed from advertising, which is going to have a direct impact on sporting bodies. Already boxing, South Africa, boxing is dead. It's dead. And the reality is that rugby, cricket, they've been protected for quite some time. In fact, when the president was involved in that time, Sam Ramsey, they were involved during that time. Deliberate soccer was killed. So that is the fact, it's here, and we are dealing with that. Now, you see, that is why we did not go to media. No committee member had a mandate to go to media to begin discussing about this matter. As far as I'm concerned, we need to wait and be briefed, because SAFA has got the right to become sustainable. And they must come to us and give us a report, and we must be satisfied based on facts. I mean, the narrative that you have given us is shocking. I mean, we can't have that disparity and say it, and then we don't even talk about it, because we were supposed to talk about that disparity. Why do we choose not to talk about that disparity? Because it's there, it's real. And it is must also, that we must understand that it's linked to lack of resources over your years. And even development. I mean, if I can take you to schools between advantaged areas and the disadvantaged areas, it's shocking. They don't have big yards to can have soccer. They don't have big yards to can have rugby. Deliberate, I was involved, I was an activist. It was done deliberately, that thing. It was not accident, because they could see that soccer, they have lost. We have lost it, soccer. And therefore, they simply said, no, our schools, we are going to deliberately get rid of soccer fields. And they did that. So my take is that as this committee, we need to take a view that says all the sporting bodies must have a right to independently decide on how they are going to be competitive, and then they must come and brief us. When we question them, we must question them in that context, that they've got the right. And I think it is important that we must not lose what is now becoming increasingly our challenge as a committee, because we are going to have to deal with this reality of diminishing sponsorship because of the failing of the adverts for smoking and alcohol. It's going to sit with us for quite some time. My take is that let us not interfere with these things. Let's wait such time that they are ready to can give us a report. Because the narrative that you gave us does assist us, but let's wait do what you are supposed to do, you got that right, and then you will come and brief us. Because we can't all of a sudden want to say, no, you can't move. It will be wrong of us to want to even attempt to do that, because we don't have that right. Our right is to do oversight, to check that whether we are achieving our objectives in terms of turning that apartheid legacy. Because for me, in terms of soccer not being competitive, it was deliberate, it's linked for me to apartheid legacy that we fought for donkey years. That is why we got rugby being competitive and then soccer, which is not competitive. It was deliberate. It was done in our faces because I was an activist in the townships. So for me, really, Chair, through you, I don't want us to do what we are not supposed to do. It's not our brief. It's not our brief. Let's wait. I want all sporting codes, federations, to be sustainable. And all of the federations must begin answering the question, how we are going to be competitive, even if alcohol adverts and the smoking adverts are going to be banned. How do we remain competitive? That is the thing that we must follow. These other ones, I'm telling you, will end up doing what we are not supposed to do. Because, you see, there is the ministry. The ministry has got a view on this matter. We are a committee. We must just do on the basis of they've been informed, but we can't decide for stuff. I don't think we've got that competence.
Thank you, Honorable. Can I tell you that I'll be giving the President 5 minutes to respond? If we are looking at your watches, I'm sure there are still other things which they're supposed to brief us, but I'm seeing a follow-up hand. And I don't want not you to voice what you want to say, but as a chairperson, let's avoid not to want to break apartheid legacy. As this committee, I know that we've said we want ABC. And this question of vetting of our people in all departments and even in this parliament was still, I'm not happy. Every day the leakage is there. Where are our securities to that? But I'm suspecting it's because of just what we have said. In each and every department, the information leaked. And I'm sure that we're not yet done when we have said we're ready to govern. We're not. There's a document that we're ready to govern, but every now and then leakages are there. But we have people who are supposed to vet each and every person, but as we're speaking, at this committee won't discuss questions of leakage. Let's avoid in any time. We are just a committee that is so united. We can differ in ideas, but not again to discuss things that are leaked, not coming to the committee. Honorable Bachman, and I'm giving him because he immediately sharpened his hand, but I was not wanting to give you to have a follow-up, but I don't want to be rigid, because we are behind times. Today is a plenary, and there are so many things that we want to hear from the President of SAFA, because they've been, in a way, I can't say they've been victims even to our good service committee. We want them to clarify us. You cannot defend them until they circulate documents in whatever they are presenting. We want to do oversight. These 5 years in this board will be together with whoever we want to do a transformation, a change in this, after these 20 years of e-governance. Thank you, Mr. Bachman.
Yeah, thanks. I just wanted to respond immediately to our work, just because I felt that we're a committee and not a one-man show. You know, that we need to be encompassing. We all know the terms of reference of this committee. And in spirit of what you're saying, there has to be unity, that we together are trying to make the change. But we cannot tell people what they cannot say or how they can say it or what they bring. It must be a committee decision on how these things are dealt with. For us, this whole thing is about trying to correct the injustices of the past, and this whole thing is about trying to grow it from a grassroots level to right up until premier level, where we look at the number one team and say to ourselves, how can we give advice? So just a comment. Thanks for the leniency.
Thank you, Honorable Bergman.
I will run quickly through the question. The first one, the question of the written report, we've given substantial documents on this matter. I think if there are any follow-ups or additional information required, we're happy to provide that. The second question was the valid contract with FABC that runs to an end. I've indicated here is the broadcast regulation. And it's the law. It says very clearly, subscription broadcasters acquired the right in terms of Regulations 5 must inform the free-to-air broadcaster services license within 5 days acquiring of such rights and the opportunity to tender for the same. So you cannot exclude SABC. We have written the law. I was a member of the communications committee at that time when we were talking about freeing the airwaves. So we will not exclude the SABC. Then we exclude our own members. We have indicated these are our players, these are our officials, these are our members. They don't have decoders. They cannot pay for satellite fees, pay fees. They vote us out of office if we exclude them. So we cannot. It's an impossibility. Those are actually our members. And that's why it's a matter for us and the SABC to resolve. But I made it clear that our commitment to free-to-air broadcaster is entrenched, is also supported by the law in terms of broadcasting. So I don't think we need any further, well, it's up to the Parliament and this committee if you want to strengthen this document. This comes from Parliament. So that is nothing we can do about it. We've noted the point about marketing of Bafana Bafana and getting people in the stadium. We'll see what happens on the 10th of September when Bafana plays Nigeria in Cape Town. I know we had an intense session around these issues, and we thank the contribution in that regard. The question of who benefit, I think when the finance report is tabled and the CEO speaks about the programs, it is very clear that there is massive need for funding to deal with the downtrodden and the poor. I wish I had brought you a photo of an under 19 boy and his house in the northern KwaZulu-Natal. His house was 3 corrugated irons, 2 corrugated irons this way and 1 on top. And he had a blanket in there, and that was his house. That boy today is now on the 19 team, is in the academy, was transformed his life. And that is the important role that football can play. And you can hear from some of these youngsters who are now in the under 17, 19 team. And that is our commitment. But specifically around exactly where the money is going, the finance people and the CEO will talk about that. Just again to say that we are committed that this money must go to the poor. And so I must answer a question which was not asked. Is anyone getting commission? No. Does anyone of the elected members have a credit card? No. Do we have petrol cards? No. Do we get a monthly salary? No. I must answer those questions, because in distorting these things, these are the distortions. And the finance members are here. So I'm answering questions not asked, but it's whispered in the corner when we are not here. So I best deal with the whispers in the corners as well, Commissioner. The question of CIA itself, when did it begin? Who are the others? Were there any other offers? Now, there are a number of broadcasters who applied for licenses. Their business models differed. Some would put more emphasis on sport, others with different programming. Fact of the matter is, in CIA, they look at a major focus of sport, and therefore, in terms of the budget and the money they allocated to sport, therefore, was the most beneficial offer to SAFA. And so, the only thing, what did we compare with? The only thing that we could compare with was with existing partners that we have, with SuperSport. What did SuperSport offer us? 7 million. What are we getting from CIA? 175 million. Unfortunately, I cannot give more detail around this issue. Why? Because SuperSport is only interested in Bafana Bafana. CIA will cover Bafana Bafana, Banyana Banyana, under 20, under 23, under 15, under 17. Why? Because they have program space. Why can SABC not cover? Because they have Noord for Noord, Generation, they have many other programs. And so those programs actually compete with sports. And that's why you find when you see the matches on SABC, it is delayed live, delayed, the next day, the next morning, never. Because you cannot play matches that clashes with some of these programs. They're not going to shift the programs. And those are the issues that we have to deal with. And when you look at commercial partners, they want to see the match and the boards and other media returns in order for them to pay you. So it was a cycle. You're not on the TV, therefore you don't have commercial partners. Their value reduces because you only have one match. Therefore they pay you less. So it's an endless cycle of sucking South African football into complete financial destruction. And we had to overturn that cycle and reverse it. So I hope, I cannot disclose more details around the contract because obviously there's confidentiality in this matter. So I hope that is understood. The question of legacy of apartheid, and I said it over, perhaps I must suggest that this committee hires two helicopters. You fly over Cape Town and you watch the schools. If you see a school with 10 fields, two school buses, nice windows, must know, those are rugby and cricket schools. If you see a school, broken fences, no sports fields, broken windows, no school bus, those are football schools. Fact of the matter is, the top 100 schools in this country, the best resource schools, football is banned. Football is banned. We have engaged Dale College in the Eastern Cape. All the rugby players have been produced by Dale College. Makai and Tini and all of these players. And we ask them, when are you going to produce a football player? So what must we do as a football association? We must first put in the windows. We must put an artificial pitch. We must buy a bus even before we can get to the spot. So when you talk about the past, nothing has been done. It's an apartheid policy where these private rich schools does not play football. And the school population has changed. It's a diverse population. And some of the players go in as a footballer from primary school to high school. They come out as a rugby player or a cricketer. And I can give you a list of players who played in our junior ranks, were recruited by these schools, went in as a football player, came out as a rugby player or cricket player. And we think that if we want to address the issues after 20 years, this is a matter that must be focused on. I hope that was just, you triggered that thought in me, honorable member, that when you talk about the structures of the past remain intact. The policies of the past for school sport remain intact. And we cannot. We are going to engage the schools. We started with Vail. We're going to the other schools to say, well, they said we must fund the program. They can introduce football, but we must fund it. So when you ask where must the money go to, you must see we must now even go and fund these schools. It's got a lot of resources. But this is the reality of the challenges. So I hope I've dealt with these issues, Commissioner.
Thank you, Honorable President. I'm suspecting this committee, it's one of committees that they are looking at the issues. We have an outstanding meeting with the Minister of Education, because this thing, it goes back to the curriculum that we're having. Now, OSAFA, they are becoming victims. Honorable members, I've said, the follow-ups I've done with them, let's go to the finance issue. If Filtan still has something, we'll chip in after the presentation of the finance, because we're running short of time. Thank you so much.
Honorable Chairperson, I've introduced them before. The one on my far left is Mr. Jacob van der Walt from EY, formerly known as Ernst & Young. And next to him is Mr. Gronny Fluyo. He is our Chief Financial Officer.
With this document, that whilst they are speaking, you know, get Abantu Baba Finance, they don't talk too much, they just give us numbers, and we must be very careful in the numbers in this document. Up to you, Honorable.
Thank you very much, Chair. We are going to present the financial statement of SAFA as of 30th of June 2014. These financial statements have been audited, but they have not been approved by our National Executive Committee. So we are sharing with the financial statements with you before presenting them to our National Executive Committee. So we are going to give you the highlights from these financial statements. We're not going to give you all the details because they have not been approved. But however, they have been to our standing committees, they've been to our audit committee. The audit committee has approved them. They've been to our finance committee. The finance committee has approved them. Okay, this is the financial stability, which is something that we've been working on. I think last year, if you remember, honorable members, when we came to this committee, in fact it was in March this year, we reported that during the last financial year, we incurred a loss of 46 million. And before that, which was the 2012 financial year, we had also reported a loss of 56 million. So we were at a situation where we needed to bring financial stability to the association. We presented a financial turnaround strategy to the committee, and we have been working on that financial strategy over the last 12 months, and I think the results that we're going to share with you today will show you the progress that we've made towards that financial turnaround strategy. We're going to show you the figures over the last 5 years so that you can have an idea of the trend of the financial position of the association. as you can see, in 2009, before the World Cup, our revenue was 296 million and our expenses were 271 million. And we had a profit of 25 million. Then in 2010, during the year of the World Cup, our revenue went up to 374 million. And our expenses also went up because we had to prepare the team for the World Cup. We had to have camps in Brazil, in Germany to prepare the team for the World Cup. So our expenses went up as well. And we reported a loss of 24 million. Then in 2011, our revenue went up again to 429 million. And arising from the World Cup, we received quite a lot of assets from the World Cup Organizing Committee, from FIFA. So that's part of that revenue, which is 429 million. And our expenses were 370 million. So for that financial year, we made a profit or a surplus of 59 million. Then in 2012, our revenue went down to 324 million. You know, the World Cup was over. All the income from the World Cup were starting to be less and less. Our revenue was at 324 million. And our expenses were still at the World Cup level of 380 million. So we reported a loss of 56 million. Then in 2013, our revenue continued to go down because the World Cup hype was over, and we reported revenue of 208 million. And our expenses were still at a higher level compared to our revenue. So our revenue was going down much faster than our expenses. So we reported a loss of 46 million. Then we realized that we are in trouble financially and we need to bring financial stability to the association. We started implementing the financial turnaround strategy, which we presented. We did a comprehensive presentation last year. And this financial year, things have turned around. Our revenue has gone up to 275 million and our expenses are 265 million. So from a loss situation of last year of 46 million, we are going to be reporting a surplus of 10 million. So we are very happy that our financial turnaround strategy has beared the fruits. And we are now in a profit or a surplus position. And in terms of our reserves, as you can see from 2009, that our reserves were 63 million. Then they went down in 2010 to 39 million. 2011, the assets of the World Cup that I talked about, our reserves shot up to 98 million. Then in 2012, after reporting a loss of 56 million, our reserves went down to 42 million. And last financial year, our reserves had been depleted. So we had an accumulated deficit of 4 million. But this year, because of the surplus that we are reporting, the 10 million surplus, our reserves are back now in the black. So we are reporting reserves of 6 million. So we have started now the process of building our reserves. And our balance sheet, this is just a snapshot of our balance sheet. We have fixed assets of 57 million compared to last year's 77 million. The bulk of that is Safa House, the property that we occupy, that's included in that 57 million. Then we have an investment of 25 million. We have shares and trust units in Netcare, and that is that 25 million. Then we have the Bafana trademark, which is the cost is 5 million. Our view is that the market value of that is much more than that, but in terms of the accounting policies, we must record that at cost. So the Bafana trademark, the 5 million. and we had an asset held for sale as at the end of the financial year. We had a property which we were selling, which was on the market, that's $3 million. That property has since been bought, so it doesn't exist anymore. And then we had receivables of $25 million. Then we had cash in the bank of $20 million. That's total assets of $136 million. Then we had liabilities, long-term loans of $13 million. The bulk of that is a loan that we received from the FIFA Legacy Trust. And we had payables of $66 million, and the short-term loans of $10 million, and income received in advance, which is more of an accounting process where we spread our income from sponsors over a period of time. So income received in advance is $46 million, giving us a total assets of $135 million. So that's the balance sheet, Chair. And the opinion that we've received from our auditors is as follows. In our opinion, these financial statements present fairly in all material respects the consolidated and separate financial position of South African Football Association at the 30th of June 2014 and its consolidated and separate financial performance and cash flows for the year then ended in accordance with international financial reporting standards. That's our audit partner, Mr. Navin Kishev. So that's the opinion that we received. So we are happy to report to the committee that we received an unqualified audit opinion from KPMG. And Chair, these are the sponsorships that we have. Some of them are new sponsorships that we did not report at the last committee, which we've acquired during the current financial period. We have Nike, which is our technical partner. They replaced Puma. I think in the last committee meeting we reported extensively around the Puma contract. Then we have the Mutsepe Foundation, who are now sponsoring our SAFA second division, which is now called the ABC Mutsepe League. And we have the Grand Parade Investments, who are the owners of Burger King and other companies. They are sponsoring our under 17 boys, under 17 girls, and under 17 national women championship. Then we have renewed our sponsorship with Avis. Avis is our vehicle sponsor. And we have a sponsorship, we acquired a sponsorship with EY, formerly known as Ernst & Young. They are providing a financial platform to SAFA. They are providing accounting services. So we have an external person, you know, giving a second eye to our finances. And we have Energate, which sponsor comes to an end early next year, and we've got an intention to renew that. We have SAB, SA Breweries, they sponsor our regional league, which is known as the SAB Regional League, and Bafana Bafana, they also have the Bafana Future Champions Program. Then we have the SAB National Championships, which is the under 21 National Championship, and we have Castle, who sponsors Bafana Bafana. We have SASO sponsors the women's senior football team known as Banyana Banyana, and they also sponsor the provincial women's league. Would you
like to have them through? Thank you, Chronicle. On the slide now is a comparison of financial statements that we obtained on cricket and rugby. In terms of the revenues, as you can see, the SAFA revenues is 312. These are June of 2012 numbers. It's a bit dated, but we wanted to pick the same year for all the codes. And that year, SAFA's revenue, 312 million, cricket, 430 million, rugby, 689 million. If you look at the sponsorships now, it's quite difficult to always understand sponsorships because it depends on World Cup years and different cycles. but with the revenues. But what is clear on the slide, the broadcast revenues that was discussed earlier, is the major difference between what SAFA was getting historically in the past and what cricket and rugby is getting. Thank you.
I've said that we're not going to have a presentation from politicians. The gurus of finance, they don't talk too much. They provide with figures. So ours is not to scrutinize figures. At least everyone here has been in the arithmetic school or math school, so at least we do see the flies. This is the presentation, except that I'm suspecting that now we're going for 1 o'clock and there's that fee that we've said we must keep. I'm suspecting that let's entertain this financial report and the other thing on our priority. We have said this match fixing, I don't think that as a chairperson I don't want to hear them and everybody I'm suspecting. So you see this thing of luxury coach, this committee, I will ask us tomorrow to go and visit a 30-year woman of netball who was in the ordinary taxi from Val. Now she's lying in the hospital, paralyzed. When I was looking at the boyfriend, young as he, Malaza, I was thinking that this person, his future is it's over, because this partner of himself at 32 years is just paralyzed. So as this committee, we are going there tomorrow due to a problem that we are still trying. We'll ask members that tomorrow still a plenary at 3 o'clock. We must ask our whips to get off the plenary and visit this young lady who's a netball player. So it's yours, comrade. If you're not my home, we are such as close. Take it. Do you have
thank you, sir.
Just two or three questions. Thanks for the report. First question is, what percentage of your expenditure was audited? Second one is, what is it that governed your cash soon after 2010? Because it looks like that's when you had to dip in, you know. From the distance, we expected you to be getting money now from the legacy projects and all that. And lastly, because of that high expenditure post 2010, you appear to have had the unavoidable tendency, so to speak, for lack of a better word, to dip into your reserves. Do you have a policy for managing your reserves? I get worried when an institution, when in financial trouble, it dips into its reserves. Because reserves, some companies say a minimum amount of so much must be kept no matter what. That will only be touched the day we've got to close down or to avoid a shutdown of an institution. Do you work in terms of percentages of your annual turnover to say so much must go into reserves and not touch? What do you have a policy for managing your reserves? And lastly, fourth question is, what is your risk management policy? Because I see the risk the moment an institution touches a lot, tampers a lot with its reserves, then there's a serious risk to be managed there. That's why I want to know if you've got a risk management policy when it comes to finance. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. I think for me what is of interest, which I wasn't able to extrapolate out of the figures, would be whether the financial statements as they are make provision for funding for the establishment of the provincial academies which is something that staff has been candid in articulating that they should be established, or whether there's separate funding to be sourced elsewhere or accounted elsewhere for the initial phases and ultimately for the entire rollout of that. But the other question is based on Safa House. As I understand it, that there were plans of preliminary discussions regarding the transfer of ownership of the site on which Safa House is built from government to Safa. Has that process been concluded? What is the latest in terms of the interaction regarding the transfer of ownership of that site where Safa House has been built?
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. I've just got one question. I'd like to know the 2010 Legacy Fund, how is it managed and who is the beneficiary? Thank you.
No other hands. Anyone from you? Oh, I'm sorry, Honourable Wood.
No, I thought that because I also have got an interest on the question that was asked earlier, the buses that were seen around the Safa, because our Safa House is a 2010 legacy. Well, what happened? Because I thought we'll have an entrance there.
Thank you very much, Chair. I will, Yakwe and myself will answer the final questions, and I will request our CEO to deal with the issue of the Safa House land and the funding of the academy. The 2010 Legacy Fund, you know, who are the beneficiaries and so forth.
Excuse me. I'm saying that this is right to consult, but if we are feeling that any of the delegation must respond in order that we must avoid this up and down, they will just raise their hands. We are here as a team. Anyone who's supposed to have something to add, he must. I can't say he or she conducting this. He must. He must just respond. Don't have any problem that it's only those two members that presented. If some they do want to add when they are seeing the gap on what we have responded, I wanted to manage the time and the moving up and down. As this committee, we do like when entourage is here, everybody must say something because we have come here with maybe our taxes or your taxes, I don't know. So you have got a right to pick a microphone that I'm adding. We cannot say no, you didn't present.
Thank you very much, Chair. The first question was, what percentage of your expenses were audited? I would like to confirm that all our expenses were audited. So KPMG did a very comprehensive audit on Safa. And the second question is, what took up all your cash after 2010? As I explained earlier, that the bulk of what you see as revenue in 2010-2011 is assets that we received from the World Cup Organizing Committee and from FIFA. So it was not cash, it was actually assets. You know, it's assets like buses, cars and so forth, and scanners and you know, all the other fixed assets which were used within Safa House. So it was assets but not cash. So that's why you see that our cash reserves went low. So that's the answer to that one. And why did you go into your reserves? The reserves that we're talking about, it's more of an accounting reserve. It's not reserve as in investment, that we put investments aside and then when we need money we go into those reserves. No, it's the reserve as in accounting reserves, and the reserve is your assets minus your total assets
minus your total liability, then the net result is an accounting reserve. But in terms of the funding, the cash that football has, we have the FIFA Legacy Trust is a separate entity, and they've got a separate bank account, they've got separate funds. So the reserves that we're talking about are the accounting reserves, which is your total assets minus your total liability. That's what that is. And what is the SAFA's risk management policy? We have an audit and risk committee. So the audit and risk committee manages the risks of SAFA. And in terms of the World Cup buses, we received 35 buses, Hyundai buses. We disposed of most of the buses. We sold about 22 buses from the 35 buses. And then the balance of those buses, we are in the process of giving those buses as part of the World Cup legacy to the Southern African Football Association. Some of the buses have gone already. Mozambique, they have a bus. Swaziland, Lesotho. So some of the buses have gone already, and we are in the process of distributing the balance of the buses. So as I say that, I will ask my CEO to deal with the staff for the issue of the SAFA House land issue and the 2010 Legacy Fund, who are the beneficiaries, and so on.
Thank you very much, Mr. Fluyo. Just an additional word on the buses. Eight of those buses were earmarked for our fellow sister football associations around the Southern Africa as part of the legacy, and some of them stayed in our yard for some time. There were some technical difficulties we had with SARS. It's not always our friend, honorable member. We were going to be levied, I think, 100% on the value of the bus for donating the bus to our sister football association. So we're still trying to resolve that with SARS. But the buses are being made use of by those football associations. As and when they need the buses, they will ask for it, but it has to be returned to South Africa, and that's why you will see the buses from time to time parked in our yard. We made a decision to keep five of those buses for our own purposes. Our national teams are now quite busy, and each one of the national teams, as well as the countries that we play against, also require transport when they do come here. So those buses are being, the five buses or four buses now, because one was in an accident, are being fully utilized. You'll see them standing in the yard from time to time. Partially because you will see the ones that we've donated or wanted to donate to those countries must be returned to us from time to time until we can resolve. The Minister of Sport has given us some support in this respect and said he will also make representation to the Minister of Finance to speed this matter up. On the question of SAFA House, Chair, we have previously stated to this committee our intention to come and engage the committee on the question of the ownership of the land, and in particular also the stadium itself. The 99-year lease from the Department of Public Works is to the City of Johannesburg, and the City of Johannesburg has in turn appointed a management company to manage the stadium on a commercial basis, and part of the commercial arrangements is the selling of naming rights to the stadium, which FNB has. I believe they've extended it recently. So they do, FNB, it's the reason why it's named FNB Stadium, because they bought the naming rights. Initially, part of our objective, the stadium was built in 1988 by a partnership between some private companies and the National Soccer League. In the early 2000s, the association negotiated a deal as part of the World Cup bid to acquire the stadium and to make that and put that stadium to work as the centerpiece for our bid for the World Cup. SAFA spent in its two combined bids about 330 million rand.
to bring the World Cup to South Africa. And also the equity that it built in the stadium itself was around 500 million at the time, we estimated. So all in all, SAFA had to give up about 830 million rand as part of its input and its investment in bringing the World Cup to South Africa. And our expectation was that we were going to also, in return for that investment, and clearly there is no other government in the world, I believe, in the history of the World Cup that has helped make this 2010 World Cup a success in the way that our government has. So we are fully grateful for that. But we expected at least some kind of equity in the venues, or some of the venues that were built for this World Cup. We have not received that. Instead, what we were forced to do, unfortunately because of circumstances at the time, was to give up our claim in the stadium and our equity that we had in the stadium in exchange for government to complete the stadium. And with no problem, we did that. Part of it, the expectation prior to that, is that we would build the headquarters of football on the property in Nasrec in anticipation that we would eventually also get ownership of that. And that process, we have engaged a couple of ministers over the last few years. It has not been completed, and we hope that in the next financial year we will be able to complete that process. I know the President has had discussions recently with the Minister of Public Works, but we would appreciate any support that we can get in this respect. I don't know if I've answered all this.
Okay. I'm looking at the time, and I proposed from the committee that they must allow us as the office to call again, especially the overview of the technical master plan. I'm raising this because I've seen that FIFA Leaguers Trust in a 450 million, so would love that they must take to us this document, but won't do it justice. I'm taking this chance in time saying that we are left with 6 minutes for our lunch. If the President, especially the President, can take us through in this 6 minutes, I can't go out of this house not hearing what is it. What is this? This Max hey, match fixing. Both of us. Well, now we are going to be quiet. I cannot say that we've done it justice if we can't hear from horse's mouth. The horse's mouth is this crew. Say something, because this committee sitting here has been briefed, and I don't know about correctly or wrongly. So here you are today. We won't just jump that door not listening. And if we have questions, we must be brief to the point, in order that we know that next time we must look at this document, which is very important to us, especially this committee wants its development. We want to check who's supposed to do its development and how, whose role and who's not role. Thank you so much, President.
Thank you very much, Chair. I would suggest that as far as the football development is concerned, we have a video. It takes 4 minutes that we play it at the end. As far as the legacy trust is concerned, and the question which is asked there, at the end of the World Cup, we did not take the money into SAFA's account. The 450 million, we set up a separate trust, and on that trust we have the Secretary General of FIFA, Michael Katz sit there, Alec Moemi is a member of that trust, Alva Shisana, yes, Alva, there's the members of the trust. And the purpose of the trust is to totally dedicate that money to development, but also to bursaries. One of the challenges of footballers is lack of tertiary qualifications. And so we will produce in this year our first batch of master's degrees, business MBAs, funded by the Legacy Trust. There is, at the moment, as we speak, 430 million. So somebody said, how does this work? You had 450, you spent 73 million, and then you have left 430. It's because one of our investment advisors on the trust is Professor Michael Katz. And you know, he led the Katz Commission on taxes and so on. And we made the 73 million from interest. So that money is still there, the 430 million. And we will give you a detailed report as to actually where this money went to. It entrenches under 30 leagues, 15, 17, 19 leagues, give support to local football associations and regions. But you will get the full list. So match fixing, Chair, this is the Wikipedia, because you say, what is this thing, match fixing? This is the encyclopedia saying, in organized sport, match fixing occurs as a match is played to completely or partially predetermined results, violating the rules of the game and often violating the law. It's when people pay money to predetermine the outcome of it. Now, who are the beneficiaries? It's normally club owners. Are there any club owners here? No. There are no club owners here. We don't owe any club. Are there any referees here? No, there are no referees here. So, this is a matter that we are very serious about. That we have to deal with this problem because it's about the integrity of the sport. But I know specifically you asked about the match fixing which happened in 2009 in the lead up to the World Cup. And we have Lungisi Ngame here who've been dealing with this matter, so we must give you a full update, Chair. Thanks.
With pleasure.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. And Honorable Members, good afternoon. We've provided a narrative which details the events about the match fixing investigation. But essentially, when SAFA got suspicious that some of the, I can give you the, like you can load on a different computer so that I ran out of it. So well, it is in the text of the honourable members. But essentially, when SAFA got suspicious that some of the matches, the international friendly matches that were played by Bafana Bafana before the World Cup, may have been fixed, we then approached FIFA in October 2011 to please conduct an investigation on our behalf as to what could have happened. FIFA then sent their investigators to South Africa and they commenced with their investigation in March 2012. We worked intensely with them. They interviewed all the persons of interest pertaining to their investigation. We submitted all of the documentation that was available to us that they had requested, because as we had always been saying to them, it was very important for the association to deal decisively with the matter. They then submitted their report in December of 2012, as you will see in the submission that we presented here. Unfortunately, soon after that, by the time they submitted the report, the investigators from FIFA that we had worked with left FIFA. So we could not get any updates from FIFA as to where the matter was, in spite of our repeated requests that we were gravely concerned about the delays in the finalization of the matter. In the process, as members may recall, there was a lot of discussion on whether there should be a commission of inquiry or not to investigate this matter internally now within South Africa. We also reported a matter with the South African Police Services. A case was opened, we were given the case number, and an investigating officer was assigned. We also requested the South African Police Services to travel to Hungary, where the kingpin of that match fixing, Winston Raj Perumal, lives presently after he served time in prison in Finland. Because we wanted the police to interview him to get direct information on who could have knowingly corrupted some of our messages. We have not received any updates from the police on that. Anyway, what happened is that in the discussions with the minister on whether there should be a commission of inquiry or not, the matter was left with government to make a pronouncement. The minister referred the matter to the presidency, and at the same time that we were waiting for the president to make a pronouncement on whether there will be a commission or not, we were then informed by FIFA that the chairman of the investigatory chamber of the FIFA Ethics Committee, that Dr. Jordan referred to, was now going to take over the investigation as part of a global investigation into more than 80 countries on match fixing. They notified us in February this year, and we said to them, it is in our best interest that the matter must be concluded as speedily as possible. Dr. Jordan traveled to Zurich in April to impress on that point, that we needed this matter resolved because it is an albatross around the neck of the new leadership, and none of them were involved in anything related to this matter, and therefore they needed it resolved. As we know, Honorable President Zuma announced that he was not going to establish a commission because FIFA was dealing with the matter. This was now around February and March this year. We've written to FIFA Ethics Committee four times, in addition to the visit to Zurich, to say we are gravely disadvantaged by the delay in this matter because we are unable to raise revenue and it continues to tarnish the image of the association. We furnished them with all of the information they requested. I can't speculate on whether the delay is because they're investigating in other countries around the world or they are going through all of the documentation that we've given them. But we have said to FIFA, we stand ready to travel anywhere in the world to receive them here so that they can get more information as they require. They have said in writing that they are satisfied with the documentation and information we've given them to date, and should they require anything else, they will let us know. But, Chairperson, as things stand, we are in a very disadvantaged and compromised position because the matter is out of our hands. We're waiting for FIFA to commence with the investigation and conclude the matter as speedily as possible. We continue to remind them to please send people here to deal with it. President, I don't know if there's any.
No.
Honourable members, during our first briefing, this thing emerged, and this committee said to the chairperson, Mustafa must come in account. I'm suspecting, I'm listening very carefully, that now the ball is shifted now to FIFA. And we cannot say we are right or wrong, but we are pleased about the information. And we were worried that we wanted to with immediate effect. And the president was saying, didn't I call it roughly image fixing, where it occurs is from people who have e-clubs to play and they are referees. He's saying that they don't have that kind of nature. And now the presentation is saying that this thing is still on. And FIFA must come and explain to us. Is it not right, Honorable Members? In order that we must have information, we did get information from the department today. FIFA is clarifying, and we need FIFA to come and talk to the committee. I'm sure that's all with us as committee. Thank you for the clarification, and we'll take it forward. We'll see and we'll hear why is not investigation is going on. Was there a culprit mentioned by names? And I don't hear any name from SAFA. Maybe we are going not to hear name from FIFA, we don't know. People are named and ashamed today. And then let's try to call FIFA out, getting a mandate from the committee after you. We can't call FIFA. I know what are we going to do. This is my advice. So after you have left, we'll discuss with the committee members and the advisor. Okay. I've seen the hands. I was thinking that when we are doing oversight, anyone can call. But I'm being cautioned. So I'm sure there is a way of getting that information, not being calling them. I know, for instance, the department did brief us. They didn't brief us about these new developments. Maybe they are not new to themselves. To us, it's new. So we'll be doing the follow-up. President?
Yeah. Chair, I just want to say that should the committee decide to request FIFA to come and update you, we will support you. Yeah. We will write a letter to FIFA to say the parliamentary committee of our parliament in South Africa requires an update. We support that position. But we cannot decide for you. But in any case, rest assured we will support you because we want to bring an end to this matter.
I'm suspecting that the content advisor will tell us if this committee, why can't we call them? Because we don't want to hear the people saying that the ball now lies with Ubuti Kadlulane, and then we don't call the Ubuti, saying that Uta Jemalazo was saying, Ubuti, the ball is with you. You know what? When I was in the administration, I'm from post office, economic affairs, and wherever. When you are writing and responding, when those people who can tamper with other things, they will know that this information, it was this correspondence from you, Comrade Malatsi, Comrade Sultan, Comrade Madlomo, until Comrade Madlomo. So we can't go wrong with government. And that's why I'm suspecting that after this, we'll sit down, we'll communicate. Do you want to raise anything, Malazi, Buti Malazi, Tatu Fultan, Tatu Musi? They want to raise some questions. Let's be brief to the point,
yeah.
Because we're supposed to have a lunch and rush into the house. Thank you.
Chair, it's not a question per se. I think the committee can be decisive given the counsel that we've been provided now that the committee moves to contact and summon FIFA to hear for an explanation subject to what the content advisor may identify as the obstacles to. But I don't think we can take it at face value for now that we cannot do this on the basis of nothing which has been brought to the table. if there are any developments or any legislative restrictions that prevent that, then it is incumbent on the content advisor in the meantime to go and find out those reasons, bring them back to the committee, and then the committee reassesses its position on the issue.
Okay.
Thanks, sir.
That was a standing remark, but I wanted to make a little earlier with the chapter you've done there. Presentation. Just two remarks here. I stand to be corrected. I looked at the list of sponsors. There's hardly a company that is African owned that is sponsoring soccer. Maybe there are some, but they don't want to be disclosed. Time and time again, government claims to have created business opportunities for Africans in the last 20 years. And time again, we're told that it's primarily Africans who cannot afford the decoders and who need to watch soccer. But I don't see the two parties, the poor and the rich, so to speak, coming together to support one another. Maybe there's some serious homework that SAFA needs to do on that. Why should the multi-billionaires of this country not be prepared to do something to support soccer, you know, SAFA? In an hour of need. These are their laborers and their large, you know, corporations who cannot afford to quote us. What are we doing about that? We've got to close that gap. And then about school sports. Biggest problem that we have, some of us have identified, is that teachers are not interested in doing sports after hours. And that's why during the debate, you may have heard me, but I know I heard myself, suggesting that Minister of Sports should forget about teachers who are not keen to teach sports. What a pleasure it is to be taught sports by your own teachers, you know. But they are not doing that. And that's why I suggested on that evening that rather you go for professional, you know, trainers who can be contracted, you know, out there. Because if we don't have, you know, a constant flow from schools, I can easily remember something that happened over 40 years ago when I was at school. My teacher teaching me tennis and so on, you know. I remember that very well, fond memories. And that's where you get the foundation. So let's look at other resources rather than relying on teachers who are very busy with their study activities. Thank you.
That's your mandate as a member of this committee, not only staff, but those proposals, and we must do anything that will be assisting in school sporting.
Yeah.
We are all crying.
Yeah.
It's, let's say that together we can do more. Mm-hmm. Yes. But I can say that almost half of the community is open.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. I'm not sure, but Mr. Todano will tell us whether FIFA will be able to come here. Because, you know, as far as my observation with FIFA, when it was here, you know, I saw something from them. You know, they are people, they are gum, they don't care. You know, if they are able to take us as members of parliament and put us, you know, that side of the street, you know, and they take themselves there in our own country, you know. I don't know. It's a language. Okay, sorry. Okay, sir. Okay. Okay, sir. No, you will tell. They are so, in my language at home, that's it. But the Chairperson, with the presentation of match fixing, I was actually glad to have been here previously with the previous committee, and we have raised about that, and I thought Comrade Lou, you'd start it where it started, because there were people who were involved in this. There were people who were suspended of the same issue of the next season. There are people who suspended other people. I don't want to mention names. And
members, I'm suspecting that it's going to be one of the committees when it's doing its oversight. We'll be doing oversight with facts. This is 20 years down the line. As this committee, we all agree that e-transformation, it is there, but only in urban areas, but not 100% even there. We're happy that we've got medals from Glasgow of our sport men and women. But as this committee was saying that we can't rest and not to see this 5 years that the transformation, it is there. Some of our elder member here, they quoted from the history of e-sport, and 20 years down the line we're still singing the very same song. We've taken a decision that a sport committee will assist whoever who want to develop e-sport, especially in the rural areas, especially to our female sport that is putting in some other call. You know, here we're talking about ISOC. If this committee can say that where is Netball, which is in the league, where are the Banyana, where are the disabled clubs of women, is Patriarch, where we thinking that you will assist and support us. Last, I'm seeing even with your staff, you are all doing things. I can't see any woman. And if we are doing what we are complaining about, we are not going to get a soft gloves with us. Let's transform this stuff. We've seen here that are here, unless they are just defund themselves. And maybe we didn't ask where are the women who were seen here. But let's not put in our lips this transformation, this equity, and whatever we call it. Women must be part of whatever we're doing in this South Africa. I'm jealous of you that we must try to avoid it. Maybe it's not you, it's those who apply to be in the board, and then few women. But whilst you have women, but I can't see women here. You have a guards to come in a committee chaired by a woman, and what with those words, thank everyone, that's the committee, the way committee is contributing. It's always want people first. That's why we are seeing this coming, and we are going to get there with you, good self. I'm closing this meeting. No, never didn't tell me where is the lunch, or you didn't order the lunch. U president maybe ufuna ukuvala naye. Kodwa sendivalile mna. I don't want anyone to speak now. After.
No one is speaking. Apology that the women aren't here. We plead guilty. It will not happen again. We have women on our committee. We did try to get them here. We couldn't. But next time, we're not making an apology. Chair, we are not going to speak. But can we get your permission? Just 2-3 minutes to run the video, just to give you an insight of. There are women also there, Banyana. At least, can we run the tape for you? It does take 2 minutes.
Okay.
No lunch, honourable members, new news to me. I don't want to keep members thinking that they'll get lunch. The office is just telling me that there's no lunch. we will discuss that here. We have started the committee in 98, and then people who are ruling us in this parliament, officials, they've told our officials not to order a lunch. This is the first time that it came to my understanding. We'll assist her that next time whoever is saying that honorable members must not have lunch, we must pick it up.
We want to thank Sarabkin Breweries for their continued support and investment in reconstructing and rebuilding Sarabkin football. After a fierce week of football action in and around the city have hit their knees, only two teams got through to the final. Cape Town Wolfdogs and Highland Park of Caldane. These teams have now been promoted to the National First Division, and the battle in the final day was just won by the ABC Olympia Team Championship honors.
We are very happy with this being the first initiative. The theory behind the father shepherd of the
African champion, so we will be delighted to have you as our guest on the evening.
Mlungesi Ngame would work with your office and deal with the invitations. And secondly, we have a little gift bag for you, and thank you very much for having us here this morning.
Thank you. It's in order. Yeah, the first people who just invited us, we've been seeing everything happening in our country. Just thank you for the first time, because we would love to have an official invitation. Thank you so much. I'm suspecting we'll all go there, except that there are those who are going for a funeral. But if you are not...
No funeral.
Thank you.